is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
Oh, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here? I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Yeah. And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra cork.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Friday here at Gillette Stadium, and we're getting ready for the Washington Redskins to come to town to take on the unbeaten New England Patriots. And here's another edition of the show that you all love, especially Ari Sky, who was very nice to send us sandwiches today.
Good
Thank
work,
you, Ari.
Ari
from,
good work.
From, I believe he's from Herndon, Virginia. Yes, that's right, Ari. And
Thank you very much, Ari.
I'll start right off right now with his email, so we get that out of the way. He says, I hope lunch arrived on time. It did. Just a token of the appreciation for the great work you guys put in every week. All of you are this exile Pats fans fix on the happenings of my favorite team. Yeah, and so then he gets into an email. I thought you all might like a snapshot on the Redskins boosters' take on their team's chances this week. Most people I speak with give them about the same chance as the Nationals winning the World Series next year. Sports radio has been pretty entertaining, though. John Riggins has a show during evening drive time, and he has come up with a relatively tortured scenario that involves lots of Clinton Portis and the Redskins' defensive secondary shutting down the pass. I guess he has to boost the hometown team, but it really seems like a stretch. At least there's some fodder for the bulletin board. He goes on to say, I do think it's legitimate to note that the Pats have shown some softness against the run, although not so much when it matters. Do you think Seymour will be back this week? And if so, how much will he be able to contribute? Keep up the great work. Enjoy the lunch. And, of course, go Patriots, Red Sox, Boston College. It really is a ridiculously easy time to be a Boston sports fan. That's from Ari, who
gave us
lunch.
Well, it's also an easy time to be a PFW in progress personality co-host. Whatever we are.
You have no personality.
I have a tremendous personality.
You hate everybody.
I think that's plausible, the Riggins thing. I mean, if they're going to win, they're going to have to play defense and control the ball, limit possessions for the Patriots. I mean,
he's probably
whether they
just
can
trying
do
to
it,
come up a way that they can win the game.
That is the way.
That's the way.
Yeah. That's the
way.
I mean, I don't think
six
it's going to happen.
6 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, rush right down the field, score, play some defense, maybe get a turnover, bang the receivers,
right.
But that's the way.
Well, Andy, I did a quick phone hit for a Washington station yesterday.
Quick phone hit.
Wow, did a quick hit
in the industry or
did
what?
A quick hit.
And the guy said the fans here believe that the Redskins really have a chance because the Patriots haven't played anybody. And I stopped. I said, whoa. I stopped him right there. I said, first of all, the two best teams the Redskins played, they lost to.
Right.
The Giants and the Packers. So this whole they didn't play anybody thing is getting out of hand. First of all, there's nobody in the league.
I was going to say, unless the Patriots can play themselves.
Or if the Colts and Patriots played each other
every week.
The only two
this
teams
was baseball,
that
they
played
and they had
anybody.
A 19-game series between them.
Right. Right.
The Patriots played the Chargers, the Cowboys, they whooped them. You know, maybe those aren't great teams, but the Redskins, the two big games they played, they should have won and lost. So that's not a good sign for them.
I agree with that, Tom.
All right. The email is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And we'll be here until 2 o'clock, and then I guess John Rook comes in afterwards.
Nope.
No? He doesn't?
Try again.
Why?
It's Friday.
Oh, Felger. Will Felger be here?
Gary.
Tom, you've spun him off track.
John Rick hasn't been here on a Friday ever.
I know. What do we do at 2 o'clock on Fridays?
We go back
Director
upstairs.
Of New Me.
I'm not the scheduling guy.
Is this the man?
I don't know. I thought Rook was Tuesday.
Something will be on at 2.
Okay. But we'll be here until 2.
Yeah.
Taking your emails,
unless
phone
we leave
calls.
Early, because sometimes we leave early.
Eating lunch.
Interviews.
Like Fred's doing.
I have to leave at 4 today.
How come?
I have
concert?
Some things I got to do.
Concert.
No. No.
Are you chaperoning?
No.
I just thought you had to make sure the scalping
was
to a minimum.
I was actually specifically asked not to be a chaperone.
I understand
by,
why.
By your son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, I thought by the school.
That request
I
came from the principal.
I was going down that road, too.
That could.
I wouldn't want you chaperoning.
Well, because it wouldn't. It's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing that Connor didn't want him chaperoning. I mean, what 13-year-old kid wants their parent?
13. He's 12.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not yet.
13.
I'm sorry.
You were off by a full year.
What 12-year-old kid wants their parent chaperoning a dance? But
especially if it's Fred.
If the request had come from the school, well, that would have been good. Easy.
Hey, Connor, take a look over there.
12 o'clock, hottie.
Plus, there's this girl that he's going to be making the moves on tonight, so I'm sure he doesn't want me there to see that.
Or give him bad advice.
Right.
Does he share that with you, that you know he's interested in
he's got a
certain girl?
They're going out.
Are they going to consummate the going out?
He's been going out with girls since third grade.
Andy.
Well, he said he's looking to put the moves on her tonight.
Well,
I think that means a kiss,
right.
Doesn't it? Is that what that means?
Am I that old-fashioned?
Hold hands and they dance or something.
Yeah. What
Jeez.
Is the
12-year-olds aren't having sex, are they, Fred?
Tom, you've never been described as old-fashioned.
Yeah, what is put the moves on?
Yeah,
they
know.
They actually,
whatever that means.
They are, by the way.
No, I mean,
I would hope that someone
kids that are brought up well.
Right.
And
Connor?
I know I'm walking the line here, but
Connor brought up well?
Obviously,
I'm giving Fred
Connor's
the benefit of the doubt and saying that he's a pretty good father.
Well, I'm giving Nikki the benefit of the doubt.
I was
going to
say, I'm going with the mother there. Nikki.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We got a lot of emails, but before we get to them, of course, we got to bring everybody up to date with today's press conference, open media in the locker room, and tell us about Bill Belichick's press conference.
It happened.
Typical Friday.
I was going to say, Friday press conference in every sense.
Yes. The news that we just talked about on the podcast, that people can get, the roster report, is Santonio Thomas was released, waived. Sounds in all likelihood that he'll be back on the practice squad today, tomorrow, as they make that maneuver. But that opens up a roster spot on the 53-man roster. Now speculation, is it one of the PUP guys? Is it Seymour? He's a defensive lineman, would fill a similar spot. Is it Eddie Jackson to fill maybe a special teams need? So there's some
Or even Chad Jackson.
Yeah. Or even Chad Jackson.
My guess is that it is Seymour, and that he'll see a few snaps to
now
get him ready for next week.
That's a true guess.
That's a true guess. True guess.
Well, we like to clear it up with you, because sometimes you have not guess guesses.
Fred, I like your true guess the best, but something tells me that it might be special teams
What's
related.
What's that something, Paul?
Well, I was going to explain that. Mike Reese's blog today had just a quick paragraph about a couple of the core special teams players, Eric Alexander and Mel Mitchell, have been banged up recently. Eddie Jackson is a guy that conceivably could fill some of those spots. Maybe they're looking to bolster their depth there.
He's got better sources than I do.
And
so
that's
now, Brown Cow?
That's why I say, I bring it up.
Haven't they been playing without those guys for basically 2 weeks?
Two weeks.
So what do you need? Wouldn't one of those, if it reached the point where you need it, after 2 weeks without it, wouldn't you put one of those guys on IR? Like, what's the difference this week as opposed to last week?
Last week, you're saying if Eddie Jackson
same guys were out.
Maybe Eddie Jackson wasn't available to be activated last week. Maybe he wasn't ready to be activated. Not available. Not the
it's
right
possibility.
Word. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just asking what's changed.
Is that what the Rock is cooking? Well, I think maybe he's closer to 100% now than he was at this time last week. Again, that's speculation.
Well, to me, the question is, if Seymour doesn't get any snaps this week,
do you want him getting your first snaps?
Right, against Indy.
Tom brought that up as well, and he brought it up at the press conference. Didn't get any
Bill
answer
didn't play
from
along.
I was just wondering, do you have to monitor him, when he comes back, kind of like a pitcher? You know, if you say,
snap
okay.
Count.
Right. I mean, with Teddy Bruschi, I don't think they did, right, when he came back?
Oh, God,
God
no.
He was playing.
He played every play.
So that's
special
teams. And he was coming back from a little bit more than just a knee procedure.
So that's kind of why I asked, because I was thinking of Bruschi and wondering if he comes back, is he just back? And if it is the Colts game, it'll be interesting because of the rabbit huddle they run and all that stuff.
Right.
I'm not sure we definitely want to go with that term.
Well, Andy thinks it's called the rabbit huddle.
You think it's rabbit? As in Peter Rabbit
called it. Do you
rabbit
know,
huddle,
Fred? Sometimes
I
you know
thought
rabbit.
The rabbit was they used rabbit on their special teams, didn't they?
Well, the rabbit is the guy you pursue in pursuit drills.
Yes,
but they have a name for their huddle,
well,
which
whatever.
Isn't
it's
no huddle.
No huddle
isn't huddle. It's when they mingle around and they can take as long as they want. But if
right.
you try to change personnel, then they'll go quickly and try to catch you in a change.
Because right. we were saying, Fred, it would be good for Seymour. Just to get in, just to get hit in the mouth, just to get blocked, you know,
right.
just to take on double teams. And to put him in a game like the Colts, it's a huge game.
Right.
And one missed assignment, you never know what play is going to change that
I
game.
I agree. I, you know. So.
By the way, it's 12:10. I say by 12:17 we have an email telling us the definitive name of the Colts no-huddle attack.
And I will also add
probably
that
from strippers who, by the way,
yeah.
had a password violation last night.
So you went on it too? It was probably we were on it at the same time. I was trying to get on. What time were you on?
I was bouncing around the internet.
What are you guys
doing?
Bouncing around. What time were you on it?
My God.
I don't know.
What is wrong with you?
7:30.
I'll be a son of a. So was I. I think we tried to get on the same time.
Did you use the same one?
No, our passwords don't work anymore.
Sounds like you guys both have the same snap count.
I can't get back to any of my sites. I'm halfway through a movie on one site, and I can't get back. This is ridiculous.
All right. Well.
Seymour was in the locker room, Fred, today.
Yes,
I probably
okay.
should add that. He declined requests at the time. We had to leave a little bit before the locker room period was over so we could do the podcast, but Eric was still in there. So if he did speak, I'm sure we don't have that.
I was going to say, I'm sure Eric didn't.
I'm just
kidding.
Young
lady.
Eric was talking to Bam Childress about his car.
Right. If he did speak, I'm sure Eric would have those comments. I think Ty Warren was getting ready to speak, and that hasn't been a common
What's
occurrence so far in 2007. So,
except to Patriots Football Weekly.
Right. He did speak to Andy for a wonderful Pulse story about a month ago. That was the last thing
I saw
that,
Tom
Andy
Curran
did.
Doing a one-on-one with Tom Brady out in the corridor.
Oh, really?
When I came down here at about 11.
Well, he is a big-time national guy now, so.
But usually Brady, unless it's GQ or something like that, doesn't do one-on-ones.
That's the one thing I would hate about being a national guy. I don't want to talk to Tom Brady ever. What a boring interview. He's going to give you the same answers over and over again.
Yeah.
That's the one good thing about, you know what I mean, though?
Well, that's the one thing about
I want my own bear.
I totally agree with you, Tom. I would never want, as a national guy especially, to be subjected to the group.
Come on down to Tom Brady's Falafel City.
The group setting with Brady, because he's just not going to give you anything. But I think he has at times, on a one-on-one basis, give you like the Michael Silver stuff. I thought was really
that's really one-on-one.
Yeah, I thought
you're pretty hot today.
I thought that was the stuff that when he admitted how much he missed the branch and his anger about the whole situation and the way it unfolded. He's not going to give you that in a group setting. Randy Moss brought up Deion Branch today. Did he?
When he was throwing out guesses, Nick Caserio, the wide receivers coach, was passing around tests.
I did hear him say Branch.
And Moss said, "What's this test?" And Nick pointed him to one of the last questions, and apparently it was some sort of
name the wide
trivia
receivers.
Question
yeah.
or something. And he's Cooley, Branch. He's just throwing out names out there.
I thought it had something to do with Washington, though. Because
yeah,
at first he was
well. All the
he
other
said,
names.
He
with
said
Washington.
Cooley, Moss,
but then he said Branch.
And he did say
and
Branch.
And then Caserio apparently gave him the answer. And said, "Don't go sharing that with your boy Stallworth." Yeah. And Moss goes, "Well, just so you know, if we get it all right, it means we were talking.
If we all get it right, it means we were talking."
I think it was a Redskins thing. I think that
so
was
what
just
was
a
Deion
bad,
Branch.
I think it was a bad guess.
But
something.
The best part of the story, Fred, is he after Caserio tells him the answers, he goes, "I'm going to write that down right now." He opens his binder, and he's got one. It's a three-hole binder, and he's got one of those pencil cases with like the zip,
those plastic
right. like that third graders have for their pencils. It was
Trapper Keeper.
I can't stress enough
how
in every conceivable manner Moss has exceeded expectations tenfold.
Yeah,
and as I said to him, the whole Corey Dillon was misrepresented in the media and everybody gave him a bad. I don't think that was true. But I think it's true about Moss, because apparently he's the perfect football player, human being.
Corey Dillon and him aren't even in the same hemisphere.
No.
That's
he's
not
a saint. Moss I think Saint Moss.
Months,
make
I'm
a saint.
Not saying he's a saint, but he's
I am.
Smart. He's smart.
He's in 2 months that
he
we've
gets
been
along
in the locker
with everyone.
Room.
Everyone loves him. He
that's
doesn't yell at people, doesn't stare at him.
That's the thing that struck me. In
even
two
when
months,
he's shooting down the media, he's nice.
I have seen him talking, joking, interacting in some way with virtually every guy in that locker room in 2 months. Corey Dillon talked to the running backs.
Right.
That was it.
Yeah, and you know who his friends were? Antoine Spann, Tully Bantakane, losers.
Right.
In other words, like you didn't see. Well, you didn't see.
He was the cool guy with the pack of, you know, washed up friends behind
him.
You
didn't see him hanging around like with Brewski or any. Moss is friends
Randy,
with everybody.
Whole
from
spectrum.
Oscar Lewis and Tom Brady.
Injured reserve rookies. I've seen practice squad guys. I've seen offensive linemen, white guys,
PUP
black guys,
guys,
PUP guys. It doesn't matter. They all seem to be friends with Randy Moss.
The chemistry is phenomenal.
That's great. That's exactly what we knew when we brought him in.
Well,
all right.
Give everybody thumbs up and A pluses, Fred, because they hit this one out of the
web
park.
Radio at Patriots.com. On the phone right now is Mike and Sharon. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Fred. I'm a bit concerned about the depth at defensive line now with Santonio Thomas out and then putting in, you know, a special teamer. I thought special teams played okay in the last game, but both Kareem Brown, who I don't think you'll see on the field at all this year unless it's like a no-game type situation, for instance, when we play the Giants, hopefully. And Mike Wright has been battling, you know, a leg injury. And then the other thing that I saw is that we have Jarvis Green out in that 1-5-5 package, which as an anchor to the five linebackers, I would much rather see someone else out there besides Jarvis. So I think it's got to be Richard Seymour who comes in.
Yeah, well, that's what I think. But you
yeah,
know,
don't rule out the fact that it could be Seymour being activated. This is just speculation.
Right.
And don't rule out the fact it could be 1 week with a special teamer and then Seymour the next week.
Right.
But Mike,
Seymour's coming back.
You also forgot Lakeven Smith, right? Who's come on.
For the
defensive line depth.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think he's played more than I expected, and I think they kind of like him.
I don't think defensive line depth is
Wright still
a
on the injury report?
Yeah.
Yes.
As limited?
Yeah, knee.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but I mean, if he does come back this week, then, you know.
He's been around.
Santonio Thomas isn't that big a.
They need Seymour back. I don't think it's necessarily for depth purposes. I think it's for talent purposes. I think
oh,
that he
yeah.
is.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
he
I
and,
agree
he
on
Warren
that.
Warren and
definitely.
Will Fork, you know, that's the group that you want out there as
and
often as possible.
Jarvis Green. That sub-package role is sort of where he excels as a pass rusher in the middle of the defense. He has enough versatility so he's not just a purely a pass rusher, but that is where his game excels. I think Seymour can do that too, and I think when he's back, you'll see him at times in that role.
And by
but
the
I
way,
don't think Jarvis Green, I think he's more suited for that than starting at right defensive
end. And if the Patriots get Aleid on the Colts, you'll see that package.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And Dean Pease talked about that a little bit today, that personnel grouping with four linebackers and six defensive backs. And you know, he says, you know, we did it last year a little bit. We've done it more so this year. And I think that is right to what you just talked about, Fred. They've had these leads.
Right.
And teams are going to throw the ball in the second half. They've gone a lot with these kind of, for lack of a better word, exotic schemes in the second half. I think that's also been partially responsible for the running problems statistically.
Well, they haven't been using it when they're ahead, though. They've been using it early on in the games when it's like third and really long.
I know, but they're ahead
right,
early
but,
in the game.
But first of all, they've scored on the first possession of every game, so they really haven't.
Granted.
You know, they've been ahead almost all the time. But the other part of that is, it's a dime
right.
package.
It's not just the score; it's the predictability
it's a
of what the offense is going to do.
I was reading one of your guys' articles today, and I think it was Harrison that said that the tackling, the packages that we've had out there aren't necessarily our best tacklers, and we have to work on that.
Yeah,
you know, so you know they recognize what's going on.
Wait a second.
What
the pack? All I see out there are the good players.
No,
I think he's talking about the Miami 4th-and-1 sort of situation where they got caught in a nickel on short yardage.
He's not talking about that being responsible for missing tackles.
Right.
He's talking about that being responsible. I think it was
for the running
game. Lanes.
Yes.
But the lanes that are being created, and actually, I think I don't think the players said that. I think I wrote that.
No, I was a quote from one of the players.
Yeah, it was a quote, and it was more to do with the fits up front having linemen, linebackers fitting together to close down lanes rather than all these DBs and linebackers moving around where lanes are more likely to open up.
Yeah, he was talking about it being the responsibility of the front guys are making it too difficult on the defensive backs because anytime you have running backs in space, that's a hard play. It doesn't excuse a missed tackle because they've had missed tackles.
Right.
I mean, that's not excusable, and obviously Bill's not happy about it.
Right.
But it makes it more difficult when the fits up front aren't being executed properly, and you're putting your safeties and corners in tough spots.
You know, and I guess to what the Patriots are saying is, look, when we know you're going to pass, we're going to put this package out. If you want to catch us in that and run the ball, well, okay, go ahead and run it, you know.
Right. And more often than not, if they're in 3rd and 19, if they try to run it, they're not going to get it.
Right.
They're going to get 16 yards.
But
and
that
not get
doesn't
the first
excuse
down.
The tackling that we've seen the last two games. And now I heard, and I think you guys did too, that after the Miami game, Belichick really laid into him. In fact, called them the worst blank tackling team he's ever seen.
Okay.
So.
My guess is that you can count the missed tackles on one hand this week.
We knew that. Obviously, he wasn't happy based on all the players.
Well, then if you can't, then it's to the point where they're just not a good tackling team.
Because
I agree with Rodney. He said it in your story, Paul, that when we work on something, we usually get better at it.
Yeah.
And we've seen that examples across this team, regardless whether it's special teams, offensive line. If they focus on something they stink at, almost every single time they come back and they excel at it the next week.
And that's why I think Tom and I mentioned on Wednesday, it won't necessarily be an indication of that. But I'm expecting a really, really low output for the Washington offense. But, I mean,
that's
obviously we know Washington's not very good, but this is what they do.
Right.
When they have a problem, whether it's a huge problem or a minor problem or whatever in between, they address it and they usually fix it quickly.
By the way, thanks for the call, Mike.
Let's see.
Fred was going to just ignore you.
Now, how was the locker room in there? Was it
loose and chemistry?
A loose locker room. There's four people.
And you know how there's a word. You know how there's a word of the day all the time.
Chemistry.
Today's for Andy is chemistry.
I've never seen chemistry anything like this, Fred.
I'm calling him
really?
Copernicus.
Today, I've seen. Yep. I thought there was Fridays were was much.
We're only
in there for 10 minutes, and there was like five guys in there.
But it's not just the issue of laughing and screwing around like the receivers do every week when they're playing basketball. It's to a man, there's groups of guys having fun. Lonnie Paxton, your boy Ray Ventrone, and Kyle Echol. Just everybody's in love with everybody else. And
Lawrence Maroney.
Was that white boy day?
Lawrence Maroney sitting
white
in,
special team
in Bam
boy
Childress'
day?
Locker conducting an interview, and then Childress comes over and he's like, he said something which, quite frankly, I didn't hear him. I didn't really know
what he said. Well, I heard him. I just had no idea what it was.
Bam.
I think he was speaking.
He was trying to be a little bit more diplomatic.
Why? Sometimes I speak and people probably don't know what I say.
So, but Maroney, huh? Looking good?
Huh? How about Maroney, huh?
How about that Maroney?
How about Maroney?
I think he's going to have, and I predicted it, over 100 yards this game.
What kind of locker
That's
room
a good prediction,
now,
Fred. I mean, sometimes you just throw them out there, but the guy's only had 200-yard games. So if he, it's not like saying, I predict Brady will throw 3 touchdown passes this week. I mean,
right.
That's got to not happen before people start predicting
it
won't happen.
All right, let's ask. What's a better chance of happening this week? Maroney with 100 yards plus or Brady with 4 touchdown passes?
I'm going to say Maroney.
It's tough.
I'll
say Maroney
yards.
Just because, you can't,
at some point,
you can't take it for granted.
I'll take Brady.
But you can't take
I'll take the guy who's been doing it.
You can't take it for granted.
Now, if I drop Brady down to 3.
Then I'll take Brady.
I'll take Brady. Okay.
Right. I think he throws 3.
So the over-under for Brady is 4.
3.5.
3.5.
3.5. Okay. All right. What else before we get on to some emails? Anything else? We know we talked about Santonio being I don't say his last name because I'll say Mosser Holmes every time.
Okay.
So
have we talked about Tom Brady won the awards again? Offensive player of the
week,
FedEx Air player of the week.
Once again, Pager's not getting any respect.
That's true.
Oh, I thought you were going to go into that.
No, because you got to admit that's a national voting audience, so if everyone
hates it. It's like the third time Brady's won it.
I know.
I mean,
are you talking about the
granted.
FedEx?
Yeah.
It's also fans.
Well, but it's fans from all over.
No, I know, but New England fans do very well on those online things.
You see,
the Red Sox get the all-star guy every year.
You see it with the Red Sox. They get the vote-in guy almost all the time.
I don't know if it's the region of the country or the fan base or what, but we're strong.
I would say that with the Red Sox, and by the way, congratulations last night.
That was a good baseball game last
huge
night.
Game. I think there might be more Red Sox fans now than Yankee fans.
What?
Do you think that?
Well, I think it goes about, I don't think there's more Patriot fans than Cowboy fans.
I don't either.
But I think when they're winning, it seems like that. Because
they're
a lot
there.
Of fans are bandwagon fans. So
that's true.
There's a ton of Yankee fans, but they're not pounding their chest right now. But when the Yankees are good, you just see Yankee apparel all over no matter where you live.
And Patriots fans aren't going to travel to Miami if they think the team stinks. They're going down there to see a good weekend. And watch them beat up on. I don't think you'd travel as well when you're not doing as well because no one's going to go on vacation to watch a team lose.
That's true. I think I think there's a bandwagon aspect to those teams.
But the Red Sox are up there.
The Red Sox are definitely up
there.
But I mean, I'm talking universally now. The region wise, like here, this is as strong as you can get as far as passion and how much they love their
teams.
And
the Mets kind of split.
There's no question.
They take away a lot from the Yankees.
Nobody gives a damn about the Mets.
Well, Mets fans do.
Fred, I'm from New York, and trust Mets, me, those are few and far between.
It's Mets and Jets and Yankees and Giants.
Right. And usually if you're a Yankees fan, you're a Rangers fan, and you're a Knicks fan.
Yes, Mets, Jets, Rangers,
Knicks.
And Knicks.
All the real teams, right? Like
then
the
you
originals.
Had the Nets.
Then you have the Nets and the Devils.
The Islanders.
The
Jets.
Or the Islanders.
And who likes the Islanders then?
No one. Well, Islanders used to be one of the hockey's
Islanders
best
won four
teams.
Cups in a row.
Yeah.
I think no nationally. Nationally, that no one has more fans than the Yankees and Red Sox. I think probably still the Yankees probably have more. But, you know, there's so many transplants, you know, in Florida and in California.
Right. Arizona. Yeah. Places like that.
All right. It looks like it's time to move on to those emails. So right now we'll take a break and we'll be right back. And I think people want to know that our cubes are getting smaller.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season. Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren? Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Hunger stands no chance against the new Bacon Lover Supreme Omelette Breakfast Sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts.
Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Revs! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18, and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your ticks.
And get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution.
All right, and we all want to wish the best of luck to the Revolution this weekend, playing the Red Bulls, is that right, in New York?
Look
for
you,
game
Fred,
one
huh?
of their playoffs. And we also, while we're throwing out congratulations, throw one out to Boston College.
Yes.
Who solidified their number two ranking nationally with a huge 14-10 win over, is it West Virginia?
Virginia Tech. Two touchdowns in the last 2-11.
Yeah, it was against a team with its backup quarterback.
It was amazing.
In the pouring rain.
Yeah, but they scored those against their defense, not against the backup quarterback.
It was a
right, but I'm guessing they might have needed more had the team's starting quarterback played.
Well, it was rain.
If it makes
was
you
bad.
Feel any better, the starting quarterback. In
well, no, I know.
Either.
They're like 112th in the country in total offense.
Yeah,
they can't throw the football
So BC,
at all.
Is this the highest they've ever been ranked in their
yes,
history?
It, yeah. Yes, it is.
Wow. It's amazing.
And they're
that's
State,
the only thing
Penn
I'm happy
State
about,
Fred. Away.
As you know, that I'm not a big BC fan, but I am happy that the current club has eclipsed that glorified dwarf that used to play quarterback for them back in the day.
I see.
I thought that was going to be a shot at the head coach that left.
I don't even think enough of him to make fun of him.
Well, this current head coach has kind
of
fallen into a pile of it, huh?
I was one of the idiots in the stands yelling for
comes in first year. And,
he's one of those Wade Phillips, Greg Williams
coaches.
Yeah,
you got to watch out with
that
him.
Last night?
But you know what? You know what happens? Say they play in the national championship game. It ain't ever going to get any better than that.
Right.
That's as high as they're ever going to go.
So
it's
retire?
Only going to go downhill for him.
Right.
And then one year they're going to go 7-4 like they should, and they're going to want him fired.
Right. And
so if the NFL comes knocking, say
it's that,
sure.
It's that Iowa State NC State thing that I was arguing with you about last year. Not arguing, but I was complaining with these teams that don't have their perspective. BC is not a team that's going to do this every year. This is a perfect storm kind of a year. Not only they're pretty good, but a lot of the traditional teams have stumbled already and have allowed them to climb the ranks. I mean, just as perspective, and I'm not trying to trash BC, Fred, but
yes, you are.
The number three team beat the team that BC had to score twice in 2-11 last night, 48-7.
Right.
Who do you think is better, LSU or BC?
Right. Now, this is it's interesting. Right. I mean, but are we seeing the talent in the NCAA just more spread out? And are we going to see more of this as we go along, where teams who weren't traditionally the powers getting their shot?
Florida and all these teams that are up and coming.
I don't think to this level. You got to look at Ohio State. Look what they lost. You look at Florida. Look what they lost. You look at USC. Look what they lost. A lot of these teams are almost rebuilding on the fly here. Ohio State is not supposed. Nobody
they
in their
supposed
right
to
mind
be that
thought
good.
They
but,
would be
but
number
Tom,
one.
There was a time when you lost guys, you just had guys waiting
but
in the
that's,
wings.
But that's
to
the
take
thing
over.
Now is that you lose guys. Tom is absolutely right. You lose guys quicker now because it's common they're only going to be in your program for 3 years and they're going. Those teams, they're going. That has leveled the playing field. We've seen it for years in basketball. That's why you're seeing so many upsets. It seems like there's more upsets all the time. That's because the talent is so much more evenly distributed, because a good team in a smaller conference might be able to put together guys for 4 years playing against teams that are rebuilding on the fly, like Ohio State.
Don't you think some maybe technology has to do with it too, with the ability to scout nationally for smaller schools? And we laugh about it. You type in a name on YouTube and you can watch a guy's high school highlight video.
Well, not only that, but now if you're a player, you don't have to go to Notre Dame to be seen on Saturday.
Right. That's huge. I mean, South Florida, 12 years ago, you would have been hard-pressed to have a high school kid say, what?
Right.
Who?
Right.
Why would I go
there? They're a Big East team now. Right. They're cutting into Florida and Florida State's recruiting. Both of those programs have gone through a little bit of a drought here the last 3 or 4 years. They're starting to get some recruits they probably never got before. That's why. I know South Florida. They're a good team. I saw them beat West Virginia. I saw them beat, whoever.
It's always going to be diverse, but I don't think you're going to see this kind of craziness
every year.
No, this is a special year.
No, this is a perfect storm.
You're
going
to have Texas, who's going to be phenomenal. Oklahoma, phenomenal. Florida probably won't lose a game next year.
But wasn't LSU supposed to be phenomenal this year?
Yeah, and they have only lost one game.
But we know that they've been tooth and nail with some bad teams.
Yeah, but they'll probably go 10-1. And if they go 10-1, you can't really say they're a disappointment.
Well, if they go 10-1, absolutely. I can't. The
problem they have, remember I told you early on, is the passing game. Remember I said I don't think they'll – it's tough to win just with defense. I know Florida did it a little bit last year, but it's tough to do that. Just hope that you can hold teams down to 17 points every game.
All right.
Plus, you got some good senior quarterbacks in college football this year that you don't always get with Ryan and Woodson,
Ryan's the perfect example of what I'm talking about with the underclassmen. If Matt Ryan went to USC or Ohio State and one of those major powers and maybe put up huge numbers, he wouldn't be here. Still.
Yeah,
right.
He wouldn't still be
usually
in school.
Usually, don't get a year where there's like 3 or 4 good senior quarterbacks because they're all gone.
True, he'd be gone. All right, but it is an amazing. Even the Bruins last night,
And fighting is now part of the Bruins' repertoire, and I love it.
What an absolute beatdown!
Back to the old black and blue Bruins.
It. What a beatdown that Chara guy gave.
Well, he already had a broken nose going
into
that fight.
I can't believe the guy would fight.
Splattered it all over his face.
Hockey players are tough, Paul.
I know, Andy.
Stupid too.
Yeah, I mean that guy. I felt bad for him.
Man, he was in bad shape. Whew. All right, let's get to some emails. This first one is from Thad, who is a mass transplant
D, right?
who lives in the Marshall Islands. So I believe this might be the first email we've ever gotten.
Oh, Gary, yeah. We want Gary. Marshall Islands
from the
on the
Marshall
map.
Marshall Islands.
He said I don't even know
it's between Hawaii and Australia.
Yeah, I'm guessing that we're going to have a pin
I'm
in
guessing
the middle
it's
of
called
the ocean.
Ocean.
He says
plenty of good swimming.
He's been listening to the program since last season. He thinks it's awesome. He's never laughed so hard listening to a sports
it's
show.
On there. We got
We got Marshall Islands?
So there you go.
Yes, it
Gary,
exists.
Marshall Islands. Which one? It's Roy Namur Kwalijin Atoll. It's located between
you are an atoll.
Hawaii and Australia, south of Wake Island. South of Wake Island. Gary's been there, actually.
He probably has.
Gary's probably there last Friday. What are you kidding
Andy
me?
Andy goes, yeah. You found it? That's like saying Texas. You found it? I mean,
no,
it exists.
Come on. Texas
guy's
is
not
big.
Making
it's part
it
of
up.
One of his trips with his buddies. They went and played golf there.
I thought there was a chance that
they
the
stopped
map
in Australia on the way.
I thought there was a chance the map we had, we were going to be looking at Blue Ocean between Australia and Hawaii.
That's a good map. Who makes that map? Rand McNally? They make good maps.
Who gives a flying bleep?
good map talk.
All right. He says, take it easy on the leg. He could have been a contender. He says, I think the Patriots are doing great. I like all of the offseason additions. I hate Felger. Keep blowing up Craig. Andy is the best. Re-goddamn-diculous.
You're not supposed to say that, Fred.
Oh, really?
Gary doesn't like
that. We can't say that.
I can't say that, Gary.
Can't say what?
All right. Accra is freaking smoking. Can you get her and Lori to mud wrestle? Why do you people keep saying Welker is a great punt returner? Just because he catches a punt doesn't make him good at it.
Well said. I don't remember any of us saying that.
Well, one of us did.
I never said the punt returner. Lastly, I'm not going to buy.
The word.
Lastly, I'm not going to buy you food. If I can't have Papa Gino's pizza out here, I'm sure as hell not going to buy it for you. That's
how
he
ended up in the Marshall Islands.
That's
now, he explained that, I think.
Oh, he did?
I think Fred might
He's
have.
A mass transplant, but he didn't say why.
Oh, okay.
So we'd like to know little bit of reason why, Thad, you're in the Marshall
Islands. Well, I have to say, I never heard.
It could be a penal colony.
I never heard of the Marshall Islands. Have you, Fred?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've heard of them, but I don't know.
Fred's heard of everything. He's the smartest guy he knows.
Well, he probably lived there for about 6 months where he published a running magazine.
Right. Didn't do well, though.
He got held up at gunpoint and stole a car.
No, he started High School Monthly, and then somebody else did High School Weekly, and he was offended.
And he was out of business.
I had a story to tell you guys yesterday, but I forgot what it was.
I love when he puts us on the pay-no-mind list.
John in L.A., oh, my God, I agree with Fred on running up the score. I don't think I've ever seen a team take a knee four times without that fourth time being the end of the game. Maybe I'm wrong, but can you guys recall a time when that happened? I think slamming your fifth string running back into the line a few times after the Cowboys called a timeout, making it impossible to run out the clock, is not at all running it up. That said, I also agree with Paul. Who cares? I hope we do run it up, especially on Indy if we have the chance, and the Jets, a stone-cold lock. I hope they throw a halfback pass bomb to Randy Moss from Kevin Falk. I hope at the post-game handshake, Belichick scores, goes up to the Mr. Kumbaya Dungy, punches him in the face,
Kumbaya.
And says, scoreboard, you homophobic hypocrite. By the way, how's your kid? Ooh, just kidding about that last sentence.
Yeah, you didn't That's have to read good. That part, Fred.
Rape, pillage, destroy, F off, NFL. I agree.
You agree that you should have said that last part?
No, I mean, you know, I read them. That's not me. It's John from L.A.
I like John in L.A.
That's the way we get the hell with them all. Screw them.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell you. That's what our whole argument was about yesterday.
You know, it's us against the world again.
It's not really, but that's okay.
It is. Let's see. Jamie writes in. What are they doing? Gary and Andy are by the map. They're still looking for the Marshall Islands, and now Andy's helping him, which is really bad. What's going on?
We had the Marshall Islands. Yeah. Doesn't even register on not being able to stop your diarrhea of the mouth when you're reading that email.
All right. Let's see. Jamie.
If they write anything, you're just going to read it, huh?
Mostly, yeah. Look, that really bothers me.
This is a show ass by
the
fans. I'll say it.
For the fans.
And
if they get something to say.
And produced by Robert Kraft.
And we are on the internet, which is not governed by the same rules and regulations as the FCC, although we try to adhere to
them. The RKK.
I'll try to edit our fans if I have to, but if something slips out, that's what they wanted to say.
You could make fun of Tony Dungy's dead son on regular radio. It's probably just not.
It's tasteless.
It's just tasteless.
It's tasteless. Let's see. PFW, this is from Jamie. Hey, not only did you read my first email on air, but you also gave me the nickname Hammer, which saved the regrettable parachute pants in Running Man Associations. has to be right up there with T-Bone as one of the most intimidating, tough-sounding monikers a guy could have. If you'd ever met me face-to-face, though, you'd probably guess why, despite the shared first syllable with my last name. Nobody has ever thought to call me that before, so thanks for that.
When the hell is this guy talking?
I don't know.
He's a little dork.
Somebody called Jamie Hammond the Hammer.
The Hammond. From your friend from Super Bowls past.
That you fought.
Leslie the Hammer Hammond.
Oh, she's terrible. Now, today's PFW in progress, in which Fred Kerr spreads the rumor that Richard Seymour was healthy enough to be surprised when he ended up on the PUP list.
Fred got did me, do that.
Got yes, me thinking, he did.
Got me thinking about a possible connection between some other coaching moves from this season. First, in the same vein as the caution taken with Seymour's injury, is the extreme caution taken with Lawrence Maroney's injured groin. It seems to me that Maroney was held back out of a game longer than strictly necessary, and when he was brought back last Sunday, limited to 6 carries despite not suffering any setbacks, and being healthy enough to not end up on the injury report all this week. So he's thinking that that Maroney is another one of those decisions. This is too long. I can't read this whole email. I'm sorry.
No racial slurs or homophobic references?
Wait a minute.
Oh, and one final question. Is Papa Gino's a sponsor, or do you guys actually get that excited by any free hot meal?
Yes.
Any free hot meal will get excited. Although Paul takes offense at the meals that they serve before the game in the press box.
Oh, because they suck.
Well, they're not good, and you guys agree with me on that.
Yeah,
so.
Terrible.
Yeah, but to me, it's a free hot meal. I'm not complaining.
I am.
As you would say. I often have to just save myself, my stomach, the trouble, and just throw the food in the toilet. It's terrible, Fred.
Anyway, the point that Jamie's trying to say is between this and the caution with which he's handling injured players, I wonder if Belichick is coaching with an eye toward January more than he ever has before.
No.
I remember Jimmy Johnson saying, and I can't remember whether it was on Fox or EEI, that Belichick confessed to him while fishing this offseason that this year's team was the most talented he's ever had. Perhaps Belichick really is confident enough that the 07 Pats are good enough to be a playoff and first-round bound team, while at the same time taking pains to keep the team fresh to avoid the kind of full-scale decimation they suffered when defenders were dropping like flies in the AFC Conference Championship.
What's that about Jimmy Johnson and Belichick? Did I miss something?
He
said to Jimmy Johnson,
this is the most talented team he has?
I don't know. That's what the guy's saying. Oh. I haven't heard it.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm not Jimmy Johnson.
Maybe Jimmy Johnson. Well, Jimmy Johnson said it, according to him.
But attributing it to what Bill told
Belichick
him while fishing.
Told him that.
We know they go fishing. That's a fact of life.
Yeah, I actually heard that. I taped the Fox thing because Howie Long did something about the best offenses of all time. I'm sure you're asking why did I bother taping it and watching it, but I did, and it was terrible. But after Jimmy Johnson, he said Belichick and I were on the boat this summer and we were talking, and he said one of the things that makes him such a great coach is that he not only coaches players, but he coaches coaches.
Right.
So when he loses his coaches, it's almost like how he loses a player where someone else just steps in and already knows everything.
Right.
So he was talking about that, but he was talking about them, you know, spending all that time together. Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me.
No.
We were talking yesterday about Redskins fans, and I don't know, we might have said that they're a little delusional.
Well, that was more on John Rooks.
Yeah.
When John called in, he said they're delusional, and we were all saying, well, why are they delusional? Because they think their team can win.
Well, anyway, Jorge takes offense. He's a Redskins fan. He says, we're not all numbskulls. I listened to your radio show, and I heard what you said about the non-football intelligent conversations going on in the chat room.
That's John Rook.
That's John Rook.
We'll read it anyway.
No, I'm just saying it's not us.
Okay.
We didn't say
that. I don't know what kind of chatter was going on. I, for one, am very intelligent when it comes to football, nor am I a numbskull that you labeled everyone in that chat room. The Pats are a great team, awesome wide receivers, and a great defense. I give your team all the respect in the world, and the Redskins have their work cut out for them. But if you think that Skins are going to just lie down and hand over the victory to the Pats, you got another thing coming, bub. I mean, come on, what are we, chop suey? It will be a great game, and yes, the Pats just might come out on top, but it's not going to be an easy win for the Pats. Please refrain from calling us numbskulls. There are a few of us down in the nation's capital that know a little something about football, okay? You got another thing coming, bub. Well, obviously you don't, because it's going to be an easy win for the
Jorge,
Patriots.
I will say this.
You got another thing coming, bub.
John Rook is an idiot. But other than that,
now we're ripping our own.
Speaking of delusional Homer numbskulls,
yeah.
He works out of his mom's basement.
But I will say,
John going to be calling in later?
No. I will say, as a lifetime Cowboy fan, that Redskin fans are among the most intelligent fans that I've come across. They really know the game of football. They understand it. I mean, every fan base has a bit of homerism to them. That's just being a fan. But as far as knowledge of the game, the Redskins fans rank near the top from what I've seen.
Well, it's like Andy and I said at the beginning when, you know, why complain about Redskins fans who say, well, our physical secondary can bother the passing game, and with the running game, you know, maybe we can run it 35 times and keep the ball away from That's how the Redskins would have to win.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Patriots are better.
And I think,
but I don't think that that's delusional Redskins fan.
I think a majority of Redskins fans, if you put a gun to their head, would probably tell you the Patriots are going to win. But they're trying to come up with a way that, hey, how can our team stay with these guys?
You know, it's like you
got to have that hope.
Like,
otherwise, why walk?
Do you remember in
05? They're not the Bills.
It's like in 05. Do you remember when the Colts came here in 2005 when they finally broke through and won? There was no way the Patriots were going to win that game before that game. Heading into that game, the Patriots were all banged up. They weren't playing well to begin with. Their defense was decimated. Everything was in shambles, and the Colts were rolling. And not surprisingly, the Colts rolled over the Patriots. But do you think that we all sat here and said, I don't give the Patriots a chance? Of course not. Right. We looked at it and said, if Belichick can, you know, continue his mastery of Manning and cause some turnovers and do this and that, the Patriots can win. That's not delusional. It's just being a fan.
Let's see. Victor says, hey, guys, I download and listen a couple times a week. Great job. Love the Patriots football talk. Paul, shut up already about running up the score. You sound like a fairy.
Fairy.
He's just throwing that in there.
No, it's right here. But
who is this from?
Victor.
Oh, okay.
Actually, Paul and I have come to a consensus. And we've agreed.
You have agreed that you guys have not actually been arguing for the last two.
Right.
You actually think the same thing.
I'm conceding that if what the Patriots are doing is described as running up, that's what they're doing. They're running up the score. But both Paul and I both agree, who cares? There's nothing wrong with that.
I couldn't care in the least.
You know?
I don't think there's anything wrong, especially when it's personal. I'm a vindictive guy. If Bill had a problem with the stuff that we made, and I'm putting words in Bill's mouth, he never said any of this, but if he had a problem with Wade Phillips talking about the stuff and his camera stuff has really bothered him and the reaction that he got nationally, more power to him. Beat everybody by as many points as you can. Just don't tell me that instead of kneeling on the ball and letting the clock run down inside 10 seconds is not a better way to, quote-unquote, ensure that you win the game than handing the ball off to a fifth-string running back is.
All right.
And by the way, the Dolphins' running back troubles are over. They claimed Sam Congato off the waiver wire.
Boy. Let's see. Justin in Alaska, I'm confident that we'll win on Sunday. When we do what will be the Pats' magic number in the AFC East? I think it's 5.
It's November 18th.
I don't really
weekend.
Know what it is because you can't.
Well, it's more than one team.
It's hard because those teams play each other.
November 18th is the earliest the Patriots, that weekend is the earliest they can clinch the
November
division.
18th is the date?
According to the Patriots Public Relations Department, who originally told me, I believe, November 4th, and then I said, now you've taken into account that, say, the Jets and Bills could both play each other. Oh, no, I hadn't done that. Let me look at it again.
quick note to that moron who wrote in yesterday complaining about the format of our beloved show. I think Dick was his name, which is appropriate. Hey, Dick.
Wasn't it Nick? And I said, was that an enter?
Hey,
it
Dick.
It was Nick.
We listen because of the format. This is a fun, informative show about our Pats. If you want real journalism with points and quote-unquote facts, then read the Herald, assuming you can read. Back off, bitch.
And don't read the Herald.
keep listening to us.
Patriots Football Weekly, Patriots.com.
What is the under-over for carries before Maroney is hurt again? I think 24.
Oh, I'll take the over. He'll go at least 36.
Finally, since you like games so much, how about a round of either or? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I can't go.
Yes, nah. I like it. Come on. No. Suddenly you have a filter?
This has to be bad.
Yeah. I was going to say.
What is it? Give us a hint.
I'll read one of them. You get a life. This is either or. You get a lifetime pass to your favorite gentleman's club, but you have to take Craig from South Carolina every time.
Nope.
Or
I'll
you get a job at ESPN as an on-air sock puppet, but it's only with Stuart Scott, and your role is to say, preach it, brother, every time Stuart says something hip.
I'd take the second.
Yeah.
I'll take $150,000 a year to say, preach it, brother.
Right. I'll be going to parties everywhere.
I can't read the other two, but you guys can read it later.
Why? They're just that bad?
Yeah.
But Justin, I am wearing your shirt today. One of the most comfortable shirts I own. Thank you.
I just can't go there.
I can't imagine what it is that you can't go
there.
This is
the guy who wanted to rape a
right,
rape
and pillage.
It's no one,
village.
No one in particular, though.
Oh, okay.
When you get specific, then you got problems.
I think one was okay.
Well, I don't know. Let's see.
Must have been Lori and Christina.
Jay writes in, yesterday's debate about running up the score with Fred was excellent. Anyone who wrote in complained about that debate is a moron. Yesterday's show was great. I love the debate and thought it added a great new dynamic. As far as talking about football, what all you guys do, and it's excellent. So the emailer who wrote that is an idiot.
Victor
FYI,
hurt my feelings.
And he's got some stuff about the volume problem, which we can forward on to Gary and Chris.
So Chris can ignore it.
Yeah, Gary, can you make sure those all make their way to Chris? If you see an email that says volume issue, because he says no one sends him the emails and he can't fix it until he does, and he'll interact personally with everyone, and he's always got an excuse. But take away the excuse by just forwarding them to him, please.
And he says Fred rules, which is
that's true.
False.
That, no, what are you kidding me?
This is a new day. Fred's a terrible boss.
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Let's see. Sean, Hazleton, Pennsylvania. The team is on a roll, and it has me thinking way back to January when we had a bunch of shoemakers catching balls from Tom Brady. Say we win that game in Indy. Do we really go out and get Welker, Stallworth, and Moss, or do we even compete for Adalis Thomas because Belichick is not coaching in the Pro Bowl? The main question is, why did we waste a solid year in Brady's career and not give him the tools he needed? Because as you could see so far, the results speak for themselves. I was always taught, don't live in the past, but it makes 1 year we could have another one up on the Colts. They screwed up.
But wait,
they thought they were going to have Deion Branch, and they didn't.
And who? Wow. What else were they going to get?
I've said that a million times.
Wow. He has said that. But what else? It's like people pretend there were 17 receivers available that were easily that they just said, you know what? We don't need receivers. I just don't think it played out that simply.
No.
They thought they were going to have Deion Branch. They didn't. He called their bluff. He ended up in Seattle. It all fell apart.
I do. Right. You know, and Felger is big on this, and I don't want to feed into that, but I do think there is some element of truth. I think Mike goes way over the top with it, but I think there's some element of truth that they did not do everything they could in the last 2 years to put a Super Bowl caliber team on the field. Now, they came damn close last year anyway. We all know that. But I think there were some things they could have done that would have better situated the team. And I think
obviously
that you could make the argument.
Back.
I think you could, but I don't think you could make that argument in 03 and 04. Now, they may not have. That didn't guarantee they were going to win, but
they
did
won.
So many good.
I just think if
the
they had
Deion
Branch, Chad Jackson, and Rishay Caldwell, and Chad Jackson could play, then there's a chance they had a pretty good receiver core.
Well, I mean, you know.
I think that would have been true if they had Deion Branch.
Chad Jackson was a bust of a first-year pick. And Deion Branch was gone. Now all of a sudden it's just Rishay Caldwell, and all of a sudden
but
you look
crappy. If you want to go back in Belichick history as Patriots coach, I think he would even have to admit he was shocked to win a Super Bowl second year as the coach.
No, forget
here.
That. Right. We all know that was unbelievable.
I think that set up the expectations. But I think his master plan called for a longer building process and to build that core of guys that once that core is built, I can bring in a Corey Dillon or I can bring in a Randy Moss
and I can
do that.
Right.
I don't think in 01, 02, 03 he felt ready to do that.
What's your point?
I think that core was built in 03 and 04.
I think it was ready to go. But
I think you look at those drafts and that's the that's how they won. They had monster drafts, and I think that they continued that through. I think they've still drafted well, but I don't think they augmented it with really good offseason moves in 05 and 06.
But in terms
07, obviously, the offseason moves were right there with the
draft. In terms of the veteran base that of leaders that no matter who comes on this team, they're going to set them straight, I don't think that happened until probably 04, 05.
Rodney Harrison came in 03. Richard Seymour was here in 03. Tom Brady was
here
in 03.
You've got to give him a year in the system.
14 and 2 that year?
Right. 03 and 04.
No, but I'm talking about, you know.
But how does this
relate
to not getting receivers last year?
No, the question is, why didn't they always just go out?
I think it goes much beyond the receivers. I think the receivers were the glaring hole last year that held them back. But I don't think they did a whole lot to improve the team last year, Deion Branch or no Deion Branch. It may have been enough. They could have won anyway.
But my point is, what didn't they do?
Well, my point
Junior Seau was the best you could come up with for a defensive player.
Maybe they
thought
he was.
They
tried getting the young and up-and-comer in Monty Beisel, and he sucked. Maybe they said, I'll go the other way and take the veteran.
But that's my point. I think that they made some bad moves in 05 and 06.
I think, well, what I'm trying to say is
they made some bad moves. In 05, they had a terrible offseason. I think they made terrible moves.
And I think the emailer makes a good point about losing the game. Fred and I were standing there when Bill Belichick walked out of that stadium. And I seen the look on his face, and it was pure death.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the Indy game?
Yeah.
Oh, God, pure, absolutely.
But I don't necessarily think he wouldn't have been as aggressive this year, because I think he does a pretty good job of knowing, like, the 2002 team may have been better than 01. Like, I think he can look at teams pretty
I think that whole thing was about Brady.
But you talk
Brady
about
not having
right. But I think had they won the Super Bowl, he still would have cleaned house and said, "I was lucky."
Right.
To win a Super
I think
Bowl.
Brady was upset that he didn't have those kind of receivers that Manning had.
Right.
I think Belichick was upset at himself for not
right.
I
agree.
Brady Andy just made a point that I think is very accurate, and I think a lot of people would disagree with it. I think if the Patriots had beaten the Colts, in other words, if they had gotten that first down on that 3rd and 4, and they run out the clock, and they go on and beat Chicago 2 weeks later, like we all think they would have. I think he still would have done everything he did in this offseason.
And it might have been a bigger, more amazing story because they go, he cleaned house on a Super Bowl champ.
And they're doing
but
it
I think
again.
He knew those guys. Caldwell was a guy.
You know,
he
talk about the perfect storm for BC. As far as an offseason, it was the perfect storm for the Patriots, too. I mean,
sure.
Only thing the email is right about is Adalys Thomas. If he doesn't have the Pro Bowl, maybe they don't have as great a relationship.
And
it's not as cut and dry. Just show up and I'll give you the money.
A year ago, the Raiders probably wouldn't have been willing to do what they did with Moss. A year ago, Thomas wasn't available. A year ago, Stallworth
was. But like Jimmy
Welker
Jimmy
wasn't
Johnson's
a restricted player.
And they had the money.
It just came together.
Jimmy Johnson pointed out. Anybody could have had these players.
Right.
It wasn't like these players were available only to the Patriots. The Patriots were the ones that went out and got them. So, I mean, Dante Stallworth.
That's not entirely true. Randy Moss was not available to anybody in the league. I'm sorry.
Not at that price. You're right. That
Randy
was a
Moss
special
was not available
him
to anybody
Belichick.
In the league.
But he would have been.
Because
they would have not traded him and then cut him.
That's a different story.
Right.
The Patriots did. That's a preemptive strike.
They took
strike.
Advantage of the fact that Randy Moss wanted to come here.
Right. And he didn't
want
good
for them.
And there was another team. And there was another team that we know of. I'm sure there were others, but there was one team that we know of definitively in Green Bay that offered the same thing, if not more, and he said no.
Right.
So that to say that anybody could
Randy Moss stop a trade?
No.
So then screw him.
He wouldn't sign with Green Bay.
Well, that's Green Bay's problem.
You're going to trade for a guy who's not going to sign with you?
You don't want to do
that. Well, first of all, he had a contract. He would not have redone any contract.
Right.
He would have been a $9 million a year guy. He was willing to redo it to come to the Patriots.
And from what I understand,
he held the leverage in those negotiations.
That's to Belichick and the Patriots' credit. That's not in
Which
any
is
way
why that other guy
to
thinks,
be a disservice. But
who
I think
was it that thinks the league is falling apart because everybody wants to play for the Patriots?
Oh, Peter King, another one of his ridiculous Monday morning quarterback columns.
Let's see.
I should do a Wednesday morning quarterback because people aren't happy with Monday.
I think
Tuesday
we should just
versions.
Do. We should just do PFW in progress quarterback and just start. You know,
we'll be
coming up
places.
With our ridiculous.
I just think Moss wanted out of Oakland, and if Green Bay was the only place that he could go, he'd have gone to Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, he
maybe,
would have gone to Green Bay.
But he had an option.
Because that was one of the two he wanted to go to.
Well, that's bad business by the Raiders. You know?
They weren't going to get much more from Green Bay.
No,
than
they were
they
getting
from
less.
Patriots.
Green Bay wouldn't go with the four.
The only thing
don't
I disagree
Moss's
with.
Contract with what the Raiders were going to get for the trade.
But Green Bay wouldn't even go as high as the Patriots, never mind higher.
But the only thing I'm saying is I disagree.
Why Felger's been mad for
I disagree with Jimmy Johnson saying anybody could have had these guys. I don't think that anybody could have had Randy Moss. I think there was a select group of teams that he was interested in, and I think the Patriots
were available to anyone, but these guys wanted to come to the Patriots.
Right.
Well,
yeah. That's not the same thing.
I know.
Jimmy Johnson's criticizing the rest of the league.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Jimmy Johnson's criticizing the rest of the league. Let's face it. The domino that fell into place here is Moss. Can we all agree on that?
Yeah,
that's kind of made – this offense has taken a leap.
They got very aggressive with Welker. That was an aggressive move.
Sure, I'm not.
That's where I agree with Johnson. I mean, the Dolphins could have re-signed Welker,
right?
And Dante Stallworth. I mean, Christ, anybody could have had him.
Trouble
you know what
is
I mean?
Wes Welker wouldn't have been
right.
Wes Welker because Randy Moss
would
have been with the Dolphins.
But I think that the other teams are sitting there saying, if I don't have Moss, I don't have that caliber of Stallworth and Welker. And I think there's an argument to be made for that.
But I still think the Patriots could be 7-0 in a pretty good team without Moss. I think they're 7-0 in a historic team with him.
They're doing it easily.
But that's a different argument than saying the other thing that Jimmy Johnson said.
Sean also says, game on Sunday. I saw last week the game will be close, but I was going on history. This week the Pats – I said last week it was going to be close. This week the Pats only beat Washington once, and Brady has never beat the Skins. Screw history. Pats 38, Washington 10. Quick trivia. Ready, guys? Who were the last three quarterbacks and coaches from Washington that have beaten the Pats?
Spurrier and was it Werfel that day?
Nope.
No. Who was Spurrier? Who was the quarterback that day? Patrick Ramsey.
Patrick Ramsey is correct, 2003.
Okay. Gus Frerotte and I don't know who the Redskins coach.
North Turner is correct in 96.
I was at that
game. In 1990 was the
That was when Eddie Andelman told me that Gus Frerotte had it.
Oh.
1990, that would be Rippon and Gibbs.
Eddie Andelman didn't.
Correct.
All right!
Mark Rippon and Joe Gibbs.
Well, hang on just 1 second. I want to go back to what we were talking about real quick. Now, what if Chad Johnson says he just wants to play for the Patriots and he don't want to play for the Bengals anymore? So then the Patriots are the only team – I mean, they have to trade him to the Patriots?
No, they don't, but –
Well, say he does. He's not playing. I don't want to play. I'm not playing. I'm going to hold you hostage, like Randy.
Well, that's
Austin.
Exactly what it is. Right. It's a standoff.
Well,
it's
don't
a Mexican
and don't forget you know what with I'm the but that's not. Don't forget, Randy Moss wasn't going to play for the Raiders. They didn't want him, and he didn't want them.
Right.
I assume the Bengals want Chad Johnson.
But right if now. The Bengals got to the point where they said, you know what, we hate your antics, we're going to cut you. And he says, well, you can trade me, but only to the Patriots. I mean, it could play out the same
it
way.
It could play out that way.
So whoever wrote that stupid article might have a bit of a point. If everyone who doesn't want to play somewhere wants to come here, then you're building
a loss.
But isn't that sports?
No, it's not the Patriots' fault.
It's the rest of the league's fault. Catch up.
But
I mean, so people want to play for you.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same argument as running up the score.
I'll give you one.
If you don't like it, get better.
I'm not blaming the Patriots.
No, I know you're not. But what I'm saying is the ridiculousness of what Peter King is trying to say. Like, it's the downfall of the league. Didn't it happen in 94?
Yeah.
When we were talking about Deion Sanders, mm-hmm. and he rattled off a list that day of 20 long of these high-caliber free agents that all signed with San Francisco.
Right.
Was that bad for the league? I mean, it was for me because I hate the Niners.
It was bad for me.
All right. Joe
gave that overrated piece of crap quarterback a Super Bowl. Otherwise, he never would have won one.
Joe in Winnipeg.
Take the monkey off my back. Take the monkey off my back.
I'm telling you, if I could have shot him right through the TV that night, I would have.
Let's see. Random thoughts for Friday from Joe in Winnipeg. It's okay to run up the score in the NFL unless the other team has pulled their starters and clearly given up. It is fair game to keep playing. The only question is, are coaches and players who complain about this bitches or peckerwoods? did Tom Casale hit the over and take Fred to the farm for a new gift? I used to feel sorry for Fred when he argued with Paul, but ever since he demolished Felger in a few arguments, he rapes Paul every time an argument breaks out.
Wow.
Andy and
Fred has never beaten me in an argument, by the way.
No one has. Andy and Paul. Andy and Paul let Fred and Tom off the hook by not having them explain the Jägermeister up the anal tube comment another emailer alluded to a few days ago. Gary, you got to combine. I'll bend you over a table with. I'll stick this inside you. The blank. I can't say that. And up the anal tube. That I can say.
What get anal tube? I snorted Jägermeister up my nose through a cap. I put it in the cap, snorted it up my nose. Where's the anal tube?
I thought
tube
they gave it
in?
To you rectally as well.
Don't
no.
ever say that again. or I'm going to stick this inside.
I think that was the other stuff. That was the Goldschlager?
No. I've
up
never,
your ass?
I've never taken anything up my ass.
Not in the gateway, of course.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think you made a joke, and I said, yeah, I dabbled a bit in college or something. I got that thing about something. But the Jägermeister, you snort up your nose. What
Why
kind
do you
of
do
benefit?
That?
You're stupid, and you're in bars, and you want girls to look at you and
Does
stuff
it,
like
it make
that.
Fun anything? Of you?
Oh, no,
Sounds
they
like
love
it would
it.
Hurt.
They like
I,
it when you snort
I
you
gotta have him.
Up your nose?
You snort Jägermeister in a bar. All of a sudden, people are buying you drinks. You are a legend in that bar. Because no one else, trust me, no one wants to do it for good reason. You got to be a little screwed up in the old noggin to do that.
It's making me sick.
Not There'll be like away, a week later, and you'll blow your nose, and black stuff will still be coming out.
God.
Wow. This is Joanne, Patriots Hall of Fans. Turn up the podcast now, okay? To football. Was Moss bad enough the last couple of years to be considered for the Comeback Player of the Year award?
Uh-oh.
We've determined
don't get
that
going
no.
to this.
This is a legendary PFW fight.
He cannot be because he was of his own doing.
I just think that
how
award,
do we know he was of his own doing?
I just think that award needs to go away.
He decided he didn't
want to
play. You can't come back from
Andrew
your own
Walter,
decision
Art
to play.
Shell, and that Shoemaker
Rod,
mayor from
Rod
Iowa
Woodson
had
would agree
to do with it.
Would agree with Andy. Rod Woodson said you can't blame Moss.
I got to tell you, I'm voting for him.
I'm not saying you can blame him, but I still don't think he's eligible for comeback player of the
I think
year.
He should be.
Okay. I just don't understand that award. I don't either, so
I don't know how to answer the question.
He should
but
win
if
it.
It's you're coming back from a poor year and you have a great year, then sure, he should win it.
Right, I agree.
When Bill is 110 years old, will he be as good an interview as Joe Gibbs?
No. He's not as good an interview this week.
Okay, ready? You ready to pick one? Bigger surprise, just how good Moss has played or how much Wes Welker has contributed?
Just how well Moss has played.
I think
couldn't even
be, I was not shocked at Welker at all.
I'm a little surprised at both, but I'll go with Welker.
I will, too.
Paul's got to stay consistent. Bigger disappointment.
I can't even give him a compliment.
Bigger disappointment, Maroney's inability to stay healthy or the Patriots' red zone defense?
Let's say red zone defense.
I'd say Maroney for me.
But we kinda,
so I'm not worried about the red
but
zone.
But we kind of
I'm
went
not
in,
worried about whoever runs the ball.
But we kind of came in saying that this was the thing with Maroney.
Right.
I don't think if you told us right now.
No, it's a disappointment. I'm disappointed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm disappointed.
I'd say I'm disappointed in the defense.
Okay. More likely.
A little bit.
Pats lose an Indy or Pats lose one of their three against Eagles, Ravens, or Steelers?
Indy.
Steelers.
Indy.
Steelers.
They're Andy's got to stay consistent.
I will go on.
Damn Skippy.
I will stay consistent as well, Fred. I don't think they're going to lose
any of them. Least notice absence. Seymour on the defensive line or Scalavino on PFW in progress?
Scalavino.
Scalavino. Oh. We don't have enough ammunition.
Well, don't need him. Brings nothing to the table.
I've missed Seymour. I think Seymour is I think Seymour, in missing seven games, has totally turned the corner from being overrated a little bit to underrated now. I think people just dismiss him like he's this spare part because they're 7-0. Like, you know, somehow they wouldn't be 7-0.
You know, I have to admit, it has hurt his reputation a little bit.
Yeah, I think, but I mean, I think he was a little overrated, and Tom was the first one to call that one out. Actually, a while ago.
Maybe it'll set him up for a big triumphant return.
Well, I'll never forget that game where
he was. People think it's
was
the same thing if Mike Wright is out there or Jarvis Green.
Yeah,
I don't even
not.
Think it's. I think it's night and day.
I'll never forget the game where Seymour was held out for disciplinary reasons in the first quarter against Jacksonville, and he came in and he was unstoppable.
Well, the best part was the way he strutted onto the field.
But you remember
when they were driving it down their throats, and Bill goes, "Okay, get in there," and he struts out there, and that put an end.
Do you
to
remember
that.
The emotion in his
if
eyes?
If he could do that every game, he'd be all world.
I don't know
do you
why.
Think he has a
bench for going?
You guys
to a funeral.
Know him a lot longer than I have. Do you think he has a problem with that, where he's not up for every game to that point?
Yes,
I think he has a motivational issue.
Yeah. I think there might be something to the whole contract here. And I've heard that criticism among
that
fans.
He made his money, hungry?
I think that he might be a little fat and happy.
Dave in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Fat.
No, it's a
you know
it's a figurative
content.
Thing.
He gets all
content.
Defensive.
No, it's a figurative thing. It's not meant to be literal.
Not one iota.
It's like saying you're a smart ass. You're not smart at all.
But I am an ass.
Dave wonders if the release of Santonio Thomas means that Seymour will be active. We talked about that. Also, do you think Chad Jackson has a chance to step in and contribute with the offense? Would he replace Gaffney? And does he play any special teams at all?
Well, he plays special teams. That's how he got hurt. I think there's a chance. If Gaffney is contributing to this offense, I think there's a chance that Chad Jackson contributes to this offense. Because I don't really think Gaffney has contributed to this offense. Now, do I think he's going to replace one of the big three? Not unless they break their neck.
Yeah, I think those three guys, I think, have to be, you know,
that's the offense
firmly in place right now, unless one of them gets injured.
Now, if they need to block, as we saw last year, Chad Jackson's
a
good blocker.
If they want
to
run
Kelly
the clock
Washington
out.
And Chad Jackson, ooh, that's a dynamic.
That's, see, I think that's the interchangeable thing because
like a double
Kelly,
tight end. So.
Kelly Washington plays wide receiver only when they run the ball, and he plays special teams.
Right.
That's what Chad Jackson did last year.
Perfect.
I think what Jabbar Gaffney does in this offense is he goes in and runs an option route, and if the other guys are covered, he's wide open,
and
they just throw him the football.
And he has, in his defense, in his defense, he probably only has a handful of catches, but they all seem to come on third downs for first downs. So he's done his job.
TG and NJ, thanks, Fred and Paul. I have a Halloween party this weekend but didn't have a costume idea. Thanks to you two, I'll now be going as Darth Belichick.
I can credit Fred with that. He came up with that one.
Paul, I still don't know why you bother with Fred. Everyone else has learned. Andy just looks for a chance to make a tasteless joke.
Yep.
Tom goes back to his Tecmo Bowl game. Gary's looking for a Red King.
Just got
but
it.
You keep trying. Why it's like beating a dead horse, and then you yourself get upset when the animal doesn't respond. It gets to the point where I don't know who is worse, you or Fred. Nevertheless, it's entertaining as hell. We get some great sound bites for Gary, and
you got another thing coming, bub.
And it keeps the listeners' thumbs on the volume of their MP3 players. But you might want to get a defibrillator in the studio for Fred just to be safe.
Yes.
Well, that's what we're going for, though.
Yeah. Do you guys
kill
see
Fred?
The Patriots
yeah,
looking
a little defibrillator action.
Do you guys see the Patriots looking to supplement the running back group, either through free agents or the waiver wire, or will they look to continue with the players they have on the current roster?
Current roster.
What do you guys think of Sammy Morris? Do you think he's, another 3 weeks or so, or do you think it's
No,
worse
I think
than
it's
that?
3 weeks. I do. I think he'll be back.
I think Fred talked to somebody, okay. So I'm going 3 weeks here.
then I don't need anybody off the waiver
right.
wire.
By the way, had an inquiry with another football fan. How many Super Bowl rings does Belichick have in total? 3 with Pats and 1 with the Giants, or is
Two.
There another one?
Two with the Giants.
Two with
five
the Giants.
Altogether.
8.
He's got 5 altogether.
86 and 90 with the Giants.
And, which of course, who has more than he?
Mike Wojcik.
That's right. How many does he have?
6.
That's right.
8.
Nope.
Okay, let's see.
Almost as many as Fred Kirsch.
I have 3 plus a AFC championship ring.
Oh, you have an AFC championship ring, huh?
From 96. Yeah.
I have 2.
Mac, I have none.
Mac in Somerville.
And a watch.
I don't have a watch.
Tell you what, you can have my watch. I think you can give me your ring.
Trade you my watch and some other stuff for your ring.
Mac in Somerville, I thought of an interesting topic that I hope sparks a bit of discussion. Hypothetically, what if Charlie Weiss had never left the Patriots to lead or sink the Fighting Irish?
Get the off the field!
Given the present talent on the offensive side of the ball, do you think he'd do a better job than Josh McDaniels? The offensive production would be about the same, or would the offense be worse off with Charlie as the coordinator?
Worse off. Fred knows. He used to always throw those plays in there that were just his ego plays to get noticed.
What, like flea flickers and
ends arounds to Daniel
stuff?
Graham.
Yeah, inside the 20 when you're, you know.
I think it would be absolutely the same.
Probably the same.
I think when you have this caliber of talent.
It's all Belichick. I remember Charlie
and
calling.
And Brady and Moss.
Thank you.
I remember Charlie calling a fairly screen-heavy, faux
year?
West Coast, quick toss to the sideline kind of game. Is it me or the Patriots using crossing routes more and they are throwing down the field more? Personally, I believe
they have
the
more
Patriots.
Talent.
Right. Personally, I believe the Patriots' offense would be about the same if Charlie were at the helm, given the talent and experience of the current players and the consistent, solid play of the O line.
I mean, you guys know better than I do, but wasn't a lot of those short passes to supplement the running game that
they
didn't have?
Right.
Said the
they didn't have a running game, and that's why
offense.
They used it.
They were all running plays.
Yeah.
It was out of necessity. They didn't have the talent to get downfield, A, and B, they didn't have a solid enough running game, with the exception of 2004.
Plus, Charlie wouldn't be here anyway, because weren't there reports that he had fired him that summer? When they were negotiating contracts in the, remember the Nick Cafardo book or story?
I don't remember that.
Is that not out there?
let's see. Alejandro.
It's in some book or something where, remember when Charlie was negotiating a raise and he wanted to be paid more and they kind of had like a fight. He didn't really fire him. It was like words or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he ended up leaving the following year.
Oh, okay. Cause I was going to say, because he left before the
They had a falling out.
It was before his final season, 2004.
They had a falling out, and then they made up again.
But it wasn't, it was a, I hate you, you hate me, and then Monday they were well, you can still work here.
Let's see. Alejandro says, I wrote, who would you rather kill on Wednesday, and Fred Kirsch said that he thought I ran a cartel. I want to respond to him in the most polite way. You bet your bollocks I'm the mob's kingpin, you inbred hillbilly douchebag, and you owe me big time because I lost 2 hours of my life watching that freaking Life Aquatic thing that is absolutely horrendous. I just want to remind you that accidents do happen, either when boarding a plane or when fly fishing. Just kidding. I only hate Fred when he starts those endless bickering with Paul. Thursday's tirade was annoying, approaching South Carolina's phone call levels. My 2 cents for the running up the score debate, 2005 season Green Bay 53, post-Katrina Saints. I know it's sports, but that was a delicate set of circumstances.
What was the score? 53-0?
I don't know.
What I don't understand about that is why do people cite other scores? That's running up the score, but no one says 49-28 is running up the score. That's what I don't get.
I think it's more why didn't we complain about that and why are we complaining about the Patriots?
I'm not complaining about anything.
If I was working for Saints Football Weekly, I'm sure I would have said, hey, Green Bay ran up the score this week.
Can I ask a quick question? What did David Copperfield do? Why is he on the news?
The magician? I don't know.
He's been on Fox News our entire show behind. Well, not him, but.
Oh, sexual misconduct.
When?
I just saw. I don't know. I just saw that.
Is he making people disappear and then, like, having his way with them?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I might have to read that when we go upstairs.
Let's see.
And our fans have disappointed me. Where's the Colts? What the Colts call their no huddle attack?
Okay.
It's been an hour.
Let's see. Andy Ripper's in Vermont off. Is here. He says, how about Maroney over 100 yards and Brady at least four TD passes? Sounds like a good game. We just said that.
You dumb dick.
I have been trying to get a feel for what the Skins feel about this game. They've been pretty quiet. I'm sure avoiding the bulletin board material, knowing the Patriots need no extra motivation. Just ask T.O. Who had the popcorn. This year is just awesome. Red Sox in the World Series. This Patriots machine rolling over everyone thus far. I remember so many times in the last 5 years hanging on the edge of my seat till the final ticks ran off the clock. This year, it's been relaxing to watch and hoot and holler in amazement. Go Red Sox and go Patriots.
Okay.
Now they don't play again until Saturday, right? The Red Sox?
Right.
Okay.
I'm making it through that one, I swear.
Be another long editing night this Sunday night.
Oh, there's a game?
No.
Oh, that's right. It's a 4:15 start.
Let's see. Brad says, great show, comedic intro a little off color, but otherwise, some listeners do know what manna is. See Exodus 16:14-15. There you go.
See, he knows.
Let's see. We got a lot. The emails just keep coming in. And speaking of coming in, when's Felger coming in?
I don't know. He wasn't here last week, was he? We never saw him.
He never showed up. He's
afraid of
he's
you.
He's done.
You've pummeled him a little too often.
He's
he
done. Charles is looking for me to fight Craig Easterbrook. So
I think you could take him. I've never.
Oh,
seen
I'm sure
him,
I could.
I'm sure you're kind of a tough guy.
Pretty much anyone from ESPN, except maybe the Mark Schlereth.
You're afraid of Mark Schlereth?
I don't know. He's got that chin.
He's a former lineman.
Yeah, but he's lost like 150 pounds. He's nothing now. You can take him, Fred.
And Fred's gained 50.
I'm working on it.
No, you're not. Don't pretend. It's okay.
What happened to Paul?
You're a middle-aged man. You're allowed to be a little overweight.
Let's see. Doug from Blackstone. Fred, yesterday you were talking about giving lunch to buyers of giving lunch buyers Patriots United. I was wondering if this includes former buyers. I would be more than happy to buy again. But okay. I just bought an Echo 755T leaf blower, and I'm a little strapped. Oh, those are good ones.
You can get it at Buckabook.
I'll give you another one, Doug. That's all right. Yeah. Doug's bought us lunch before, right?
If you just call in and ask, they'll give you one. They got seven cases they're trying to unload.
I need your address, though, Doug. So email it to Gary. As far as the game
goes.
You don't
blow leaves. How would you know? You suck them.
No, I blow them and then I suck them up.
Come on, Gary.
Tell me you were rolling on that. Please tell me you were rolling. Because that's exactly what I wanted.
As far as the game goes,
and I think people want to know that our cubes are getting smaller.
As far as the game goes, you know I won't make a prediction, but are the Redskins a team that could bite us on the backside?
Yes, could.
There would have to be a lot of things.
It would be a dramatic upset, as Joe Gibbs has pointed out.
Right.
Is it still 17? What are we at now,
Tom? It's 17. It'd be one of the biggest number upsets in the history of the NFL. All
right, point to my backside and say, kiss it. Fred, P.S., I'm worried about your new barbarian attitude about raping and pillaging. I hope that blood eagle thing didn't send you over the edge. Mangini deserves one, but don't turn into Genghis Kirsch. Just joking, you're a big teddy bear. Okay.
Okay. Well, remember you miss classic Fred Kirsch. Talking about blowing and sucking.
Oh, jeez.
Leaves.
Right.
Sure you're not a homosexual.
How come Gary isn't taping the whole show?
I don't know what Gary's doing.
Gary, I'm not getting on just wondering, why don't you tape the whole show?
He's planning his next trip to Barbados.
I do tape the whole show.
Oh, okay.
Tom's checking out the Marshall Islands.
Tom just saw the Gary stare of death come around the corner. He goes, I'm not complaining.
No, I was just wondering if he didn't tape it, why he wouldn't
tape the
show.
No stare of death. I was just answering his question.
Plus, anybody can get it off a podcast, right? although you won't be able to hear it because the audio levels are terrible, thanks to Chris Ferreira.
Ari writes in again, and as long as
Ari wants to write in,
we'll read him because Ari bought us lunch today. Thank you, Ari.
Is it Ari or Ari?
It's Ari.
I would say Ari.
Ari. Ari.
And Ari, don't forget, you have a free tour now of Gillette Stadium.
That's right.
To Fred Kirsch, if you'd like one.
When you're in the Foxborough area, come up to the front desk, ask for Fred Kirsch, and he'll take care
of it. Well, we have to plan it beforehand. I could be in a meeting.
Ari Gold.
Or you could be in Paul's office just trying to annoy him, entice him into
an
argument.
Or you could be in front of your computer with your head in your hands. Too close to call, really.
I've done that before.
Yes, Chris Wheeler noticed. Wanted to know what was wrong with you.
That's how I think. I promise that this is my last missive of the day. Saying that the Pats have been running up the score is like saying that the Red Sox were being too aggressive during much of the ALCS and in Game 1 of the World Series. How come it's okay for a baseball team to outscore its opponents 13-1, but when a football team scores an additional touchdown near the end of the fourth quarter, everyone accuses that team of running up the score? I just don't get it.
It's a different sport.
Well, I must say that there's a time. There's a.
I mean, if you're stealing bases and you're hitting, running, and doing all that stuff, you're running up the score in baseball. I mean, no one's asking anybody to go up there and strike out on purpose just to get the game over. I mean, you have to continue to play the game.
I
just
got an 0-2 take sign in high school.
You got an 0-2 take sign in high school. Your coach
18 run inning.
Your coach should be killed.
No, I didn't have a problem with it. Bishop Connolly couldn't hang.
Hang with Andy Hart and his boys.
I say you didn't get a hit.
Oh, no. I was probably 4 of 6 in 3 innings before I got taken out.
4 of 6 what?
Hitting.
Oh, you were like this good big baseball player?
Good brand of baseball they play down there in the South.
No, that was the one team.
Was this T-ball?
It was the one team. And it never, the score never made it into the paper. He always looked out for them. I don't know if he knew the coach.
Well, that always
happens. But I'd be like, hey.
That always happens. They either
we won 28-1. How come it says it was 4-2?
See, the problem when Andy played T-ball is you had the T here with the ball, but when Andy stood next to it, you couldn't tell which was which because his big head on that little body.
I was fat back then.
I was going to say, once again, he couldn't get it out. But
oh, my God, that is funny.
Yeah, there was a minor controversy, Fred, a few years back. I don't know if you remember this, but about high school coaches calling in the incorrect scores.
Because of that kind of reason?
Right.
Right.
Instead of saying, 49-0, they were saying, 28-0.
I think it's interesting.
And they were
Because at what point is it competitive versus, I mean, it's not T-ball.
I think these kids today are too protected. Wow. They're coddled. And they're growing up that they need their mommy to do everything for them. It's ridiculous.
That gets to the youth soccer groups.
Absolutely.
Right, that don't allow them to keep scoring the games.
Right.
Crap. Don't get me on that.
It's crap.
We all agree on that.
Yeah.
Except
Jesus
for Andy.
Jesus Christ.
And you got a 47.
We're raising
playbook.
A bunch of pussies is what I say.
No, but Andy, you know I'm with you on
I don't think you can say that.
Andy,
I'm
with you on some of the Pop Warner stuff, but you don't think keeping score?
No, I think that's
just
fine.
Part of life.
Right.
That's,
I also think
you don't have to have a 47-page playbook to actually
to
keep scoring in the game.
I also think kids do it on their own.
Right.
My niece was like 7, and she knew the score, even if they weren't key. She was I think it was 13-11.
That's the thing, Andy, that I have the biggest problem with. You treat kids like they're morons.
Right.
Like they can't count runs by themselves.
Right.
Give me a break.
Matt from Quincy, to give some perspective on the quality of depth of last year's core of receivers, check out how Rashay Caldwell is doing with the Redskins this year. Is he hurt? Because right now he is somewhere behind Art Monk on the depth chart. By the way, knowing your fondness for free food, I expect to see you guys at the local Taco Bell on October 30th between 2 and 5. Make sure you give a big shout-out to Jacoby Ellsbury.
Everybody gets a free
taco.
Yeah, I saw that. When's
Tuesday.
Between 2 and 5.
Freddie, we can stop on the way to the TV show.
You know, there's nothing more.
Then I'll miss the TV
nothing
show.
I want less than a Taco Bell taco at 2 in the afternoon.
I kind of like Taco Bell.
I'm not a big fan.
It just,
as Fred would say, they're not a sponsor, are they?
I'll save my belly the trouble and just throw it in the toilet.
That's right. And I did say that a long time ago, and someone stole it from me.
Right after you watched a comic show on HBO.
No. I said it freshman year of college.
And Joey Schmicknoli will call him.
I know exactly where I was recorded.
I was at the University of Tampa. I remember when
damn right. I was in DeLow Hall in my dorm room when I said it.
See? Look, he remembers. I'm going to start calling Fred Dane Cook. Stealing all these people's material.
Tim from Thailand. Gary, do we have a pin in Thailand? Gary's not even listening to the show.
I was going to use that for my last call.
Neither is anybody else.
I figure no one's talking about all the Red Sox.
Can you give us your take on Brandon Merriweather so far? Have you heard any comments about his play from teammates or coaches? What is his long-term position, safety or corner? And when do you see him getting significant playing time this year or next?
Safety next year.
Yeah, I think it's probably a reasonable assumption to say that Eugene Wilson
gone.
Will be gone at the end of the year as a free agent. And
Harrison could be gone, too.
Harrison is a reasonable assumption that he'll be gone. So
Merriweather and Sanders.
You're going to be looking for the young
Bucks. No, I'm not saying he's going to step right in and be good. I don't.
I think he can still play corner. I think he'll always have that flexibility. But I think that
Eugene Wilson,
in the short term, they're going to need him at safety sooner than corner.
And this team's going to look a lot different next year, although, one way or the other.
Defensively.
Although you think, Andy, that Samuel's as good as gone, too. So maybe they'll need him at corner.
I think if he plays at corner, he'll stink.
I do, too.
Well,
just based on what we saw in the preseason, he looked like he was a more natural fit.
I think his upside is to be Eugene Wilson, move in the slot, do some coverage things. But if you line him up at corner every play, I think you get beat early and
on. I would agree with the boys. But you know what? Just thinking about that, they could lose without anything out of the ordinary. They could lose four out of their top five defensive backs, maybe four out of the top six.
Free agents in retirement.
You know, Randall Gay and Eugene Wilson, unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. Samuel could definitely be gone as an unrestricted free agent, and Harrison could retire.
Yeah. Let's see. Brian says,
add in the linebackers and the back end of that defense. I'm just trying to talk football.
You should see him, when he hosts.
But we are talking about the Patriots.
No, I know, but
I didn't bring up the
why
vacuum.
Do you wait until I start the email to give your 2 cents? Why don't you say it right after he speaks?
I did.
You know, they say that
diarrhea of the mouth.
They say like 2 seconds of dead air on the radio sounds like two
you
minutes.
You take 5 minutes.
I'm trying to run a show
an
here.
Email. You just stare at a show email. Here.
I just went to the bathroom and didn't miss a word that
you didn't say a single thing.
I'm trying to run a show.
You got your stinky feet up on the table. Your big head in my way. I can't even see the TV.
You didn't even know you were going there. You just wanted to yell big head across the room.
Absolutely.
You got your big head in the way.
But he's right. He's just saying that you got your big head. That's all you need.
That's funny. It's like first thing in the morning going,
what
Paul?
Do you call it?
Is Paul coming in today?
Hydrocephalus. Massive cranium from Matt yesterday.
All right.
One of my all-time favorites.
Brian's from Colorado, and he doesn't like me to say that he's from Aspen. I wish I was 20 years younger so I could have partied with Casale. Tom, have you ever been a cameraman for Girls Gone Wild? If not, it may be the only thing you haven't done. No wonder you snore like a friggin' gorilla. Do you wake up with your sleep apnea mask on and have visions of past nitrous experiences? Tom is the best color man in the business, though that is probably not why he was hired, which makes me wonder why he was hired.
We wonder the same thing every day.
I just don't understand football, I guess. I sent a mass email to about 750 people. Just so happened the day that Fred got it was two people might be leaving here. He emailed me. I guess I was the first one that told him I'd be there in a day and live in my car if I had to, so then he hired me. Of course, we had an interview. I bought a nice new suit, forgot to take the tag off the arm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I told him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know that tag that they put like right
on
the thing? I thought it was supposed to be there. You know who really got in trouble for that is Allison. Because I said, I'm not supposed to know this stuff. You're supposed to know this. I got out there, I look like a freaking idiot. Yeah,
I had a jacket like that, and I cut it off, and I got the jacket itself. Well, there's a little.
Oh, you got a little, yeah.
Yeah, it's you can't really see it. It's really small, I was really bummed out about that.
Fred sits down and do the interview. Of course, you just can't let it go. He says, you can cut that tag off if you want.
That's Fred, though. You should have known right then.
Yeah, but now you don't have that problem with Regan because they don't put that tag on.
No,
right?
No problems with Regan.
That's right.
No, it just costs you $8 million to have a suit.
Paul and I have, Tom and I have custom suits, and we're trying to get Paul to get
you guys
get
have
one.
The big bucks.
Well, Tom has custom suit.
Yeah, suit. That's as far as it's going with me.
Ron in New Hampshire says all the talk about he's given up on the Raymond.
He should. you should just read it anyway.
Raymond from Ron. All the talk about the Pats could lose. Let me start that again. All the talk
keep making fun of him.
He's trying to run a show here, Andy.
I can't talk. All the Pats. See, now you got me all screwed up. In 3, 2, all the talk about who the Pats could lose to, I haven't heard the Giants mentioned. Does anyone think the Giants have no shot, or is it that it won't matter at that point in the season?
Yeah, and the only way I see it is if it doesn't matter.
Right. Well,
and
you know what?
They decide they don't want to play the game. I think the Giants are good, but
they
I don't
get
see
that front, man.
I don't see an NFC team doing the damage.
If there's any team that can get pressure on Brady, it's the Giants right now, the way they're playing.
It's hard to predict that game, though, because it is the last game of the year. You don't know. I mean, maybe the Giants go on a 6-game losing streak, and we never hear from them again. So it's kind of hard to go that far down. The one thing, Fred, that you're right, they have the two ends, but –
But they don't have the rest. The Redskins have a better defense.
If you put like all the into the equation, which you need to beat the Patriots, they have one thing, and the secondary
pressure with the front four.
Say goodnight. They have no chance.
And they really, you know, they've been impressive. I give them credit. They've rattled off five in a row. But in my opinion, really, only one impressive win, and that was at Washington. I mean, I know we dog some teams for who they beat and who they played, but you know.
But they are beating the teams they should.
Beating Atlanta and beating Philadelphia, and you know, I just am not all that impressed.
Using our little guide for what kind of teams are they? What are the Giants? Do they have a good quarterback, a good coach, both, or neither?
I think they have a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, I would.
I think the coach is a good coach, but I'm not sure how seriously he's taken by his team. Now it looks like he's kind of winning them back. I think Tom Coughlin knows something about football.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put him in the Jack Del Rio,
no.
You know, kind of stiff category. I think Tom Coughlin has proven that he can build a winner. He built a solid team in Jacksonville, and he had some success.
He brought BC
in New York
to the heights.
That wasn't bad.
I just love his deadpan delivery.
Let's see. Jason's in Chiba. Gary, you know where Chiba is?
No. That actually should be added
to
the map.
He's still looking for a Red King.
What country is Chiba?
His mouth is so full of tobacco in there. How much of that stuff do you have? Look at him.
Well, he buys it by the case. Have you ever seen when he gets those huge tubes?
You ever see those National Geographic guys? They put the plates in their mouth. Yeah. That's what he looks like right now. He's got his lip is like... Looks like he just went 10 rounds with Mike Tyson.
Gary puts it... I used to put it here. Gary puts it, you put it in the front, don't
oh,
you,
Oh, yeah.
Gary?
On the I radio, used to, Tom. For that stuff, I would put in the front. What is that? That's like
yeah.
The snuff?
Yeah, I
had... chew tobacco?
100 years ago.
Really? I can't picture you chewing tobacco.
No, I put it up towards the side
it's a disgusting
here, a little
habit.
Pocket.
I tried it once. I got dizzy. I almost passed out.
I tried it twice, puked both times.
You got to get used to it.
The regular tobacco, the shredded tobacco, you go on the side.
That, but boy, did I puke.
But that Copenhagen, that stuff, that stuff that Gary does with the Copenhagen,
yeah, I used to,
that's,
I used
that's
to put
like
it all,
industrial
I,
strength.
I
didn't
used
you used
here.
To sniff it?
No. See, with the Copenhagen, he used to freeze it
you
and then put it in
the
side
butt.
Here.
God.
All right.
Well, the only thing I
you guys are taking
Jager
me down
Buster.
With you. I dropped one F-bomb about 8 years ago. I'm going down with you guys.
You never snorted a Percocet?
Snorted? No.
I hear
I'd
that.
Take
well, you're in the party.
What
thing.
Do you mean you hear that? How do you just hear that?
I've seen that.
This is now...
you worry me. That. You worry me, Hendry.
This show has been reduced to high times.
Yes.
Can we get back to where's Chibra or Chabra or whatever?
Where is Chiba?
I believe it's China, Fred.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No,
anyways.
No, not Chiba, China.
The B is supposed to
the
typo. Oh, it's supposed
a typo?
To say China?
Well, China's a big country. I need to get some specific here.
It's not Chiba, China. It's just China.
Gary's getting
no, I know, but if it's like saying I'm in America. Well, where? I mean, you know.
Oh, stop it. You thought it was Chiba.
It says C-H-I-B-A. That's what he wrote.
Well, hey, maybe that's what he meant. I don't know.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
Exactly,
right.
Bill.
Anyway, he says, hello, Peckerwoods. Listening to Wednesday's podcast on my MP3 player on the way home and got to Craig's one phone salute, sprayed my Sokembe tea all over the street. All of you out there who still hate Craig just don't know how good entertainment can be. A football nerd taking it on the chin from a computer monkey is exactly what we need more of. Craig, don't stop calling, please. No joke works without its punchline. So there you go. We got a call for Craig.
That's true.
I got to thank whichever computer monkey finally turned up the volume on the podcast. I, too, was having minor problems with it, but as of this week, I'm listening to it on half volume. Thanks, monkeys.
See, that
so
monkey
that's
would be Chris Ferreira.
That's what Chris did. He said, there's no problem. Then
he fixed it.
And when Fred checked on it, it was fixed, so there was really no problem.
Chris, you are a fraud.
Fraud. Fraud of the highest degree.
Chris is the best webmaster in the NFL, bar none.
Best one we've ever had, Fred, in my time here.
In my last email, I forgot to mention
like
that Paul
that
did
Wes Welker's better than whoever the... Shoemakers were they had last year. Last two webmasters were shoemakers. I don't know about the first one.
He keeps interrupting them.
Just
tick, 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 tick.
In my last
Chiba.
In my last email, I forgot to mention that Paul did a great job on Put Up Your Dukes. One thing, though, national TV or not, you cannot let a dude who needs an elevator in his house to call you big guy. You've got to come back with something, buffet table, something. I don't know. You're the writer. I've seen no evidence that his show is even worth watching, whereas you guys are certainly worth listening to. So why even put yourself in harm's way? You can't improve that show. It's already in the can.
Wow, he's saying you were lowering yourself by doing that show.
Yeah, that's good.
I guess it's a compliment.
Yeah.
It is national TV, however.
It is the NFL Network.
And if they want to have me on
quasi-national.
But if they want to have me on again, I'd be more than happy to do it again. I enjoyed it.
Oh, so yeah. And if
how much you get for that?
Nothing.
Sorry, Fred.
We got some notoriety. They have a lot of people
it's
saw
good for
that.
The paper, Fred. Yeah, it said Patriots Football Weekly on the NFL
it's
Network.
Good for your next job, too. Oh, yeah. And
there'll be no next job.
If Paul is the fat one, why am I always seeing him on TV? I don't even know what the rest of you look like, but I can't hear enough out of Andy about how fat he is. You must be pretty ashamed of your face to be playing backup TV guy to him, being that he's so fat. Yeah, that's a good point on his part.
I don't think that has anything to do
I'm
with
not ashamed
there's
in any way. I've been
fat,
trying
ugly
to
people
right.
on TV. No yeah. offense, Paul.
Case in point, Jamie goes, Dukes.
But if he also, if
Paul's
you just
more important than we are.
Plus, I've been trying to get on TV for 2 months. They said they were going to call me. They never did.
If you just saw Andy and I's head, you would think that Andy was the fat one, not me, because of that enormous squash.
Then if you saw
how did Matt put it again?
Then if you saw his body, you'd wonder how he played Division III football because he weighs about 145 pounds.
I've lost a little weight in the last 6 to 8 months.
Hell,
admit to it.
You're all second stringers to him in B-Low as of now, and that dude would look better in a paper bag. As to your Sopcast recommendations, worked absolutely fabulously.
Fred, who is this douchebag?
Who?
Who's
this is female? Jason and Sheba.
Jason's a loser. Hey, Gary, pull this guy
he's
up.
Why?
He's got some more stuff.
Nah, I don't want to hear it.
He's taking shots at B-Low now, too. Hey, only we can take shots
at
B-Low.
Once he said we were behind B-Low, I've heard enough. That's,
he said he should be in a paper bag.
He's turned it personal. Yeah, but he's saying that we're below him.
Well, hey.
Well, to be fair.
Them's the facts.
Anyone who tunes into Fox Sports New England thinks we're below him, too.
You missed it.
No wonder that show's going down the tubes.
Yeah, that show's nothing.
Let's see.
One of the highest rated shows ever last night at 10 o'clock in the middle of game 2 of the World Series.
Let's see. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
What
Robin's homesick.
Robin?
And she says her dad listens to us all the time.
Who's Robin?
Dad tells me he's right. If I ask you clowns something, you will answer it. Well, here it is. What kind of car does Tom Brady drive? But my problem is Robin's home for sick and she's listening to this. So now we're in big trouble. But anyway, what kind of car does Tom Brady drive?
Multiples.
Several, right?
Right.
He's
had an Escalade in the past. I don't know if he still has that.
Escalade, Range Rover. He had a, what was the fancy one?
He had a Mercedes.
Do you remember that? One of the years at the ring ceremony, Fred, and I think it was, I know that you were there because, you know, you get invited to those sort of things. We just have to cover them. He showed up in a very expensive car. And I don't know.
Oh, right.
It was like a.
Somebody said it's like a living room on wheels.
Yeah.
It began with
that's
an M.
What it was. One of those that's, yes, I've seen those.
What's it called?
M-L-L. Gary, you know nothing about this?
Google it.
It's like this car that, well, it is the car that Brady showed up to at the last ring ceremony.
One of the ring ceremonies, it was a ridiculously expensive car.
It was a while ago.
But he had just rented it for the
day. Yeah, it may not have been his.
He didn't own it.
I'm saying there's no way he even paid for it.
No, maybe not. Maybe
he said, I'm Tom Brady. I wouldn't mind driving that to the ring ceremony. The guy goes, okay.
Right, it's just like how they give those women the free dresses when they go down the red carpet. And they say, "Who's your dress by?" And they say, "Tom Casale."
Right,
you know, this is like you know, you give Brady the car and the chance that it gets into the paper.
I know one year that I was at the ring ceremony. I think there might have been six people in his car. It was either the Escalade or he took the limo that time, and he was driven. But when he and Bridget got out at the time, he was still with Bridget Moynihan. But I can't remember the name of that car. That
somebody
it was like
it
a
in.
Bentley or you know something right. along it's that line.
I never
but it wasn't.
Heard of
I had never. I had never heard the term in my life until that day.
And it's not all that distinctive. It's but it has a huge back seat, and that's why they do call it an office on wheels because it has this huge. It's like an executive type car.
I can't believe Gary doesn't know. He's usually into that sort of thing. While he's waiting for a Red King.
He's looking it up. He's doing a Google.
He's doing a fine job.
Let's see. Dave from the Philippines.
No call this week from Dave.
No, he says, sorry I haven't called, but my sugar levels have been off and I really wouldn't sound that great.
Does he have diabetes?
I guess so.
Evidently, the phone bills have come in.
Dave?
I think Tom understands that issue. He must.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
you should point yourself out if you're diabetic. We have to stick together, us people.
Yeah, you just went up 10 notches in Tom's book.
I already like Dave, though.
Anyway, here's my take on a few of the issues you've been talking about this year. One, with regard to running up the score, I think it's ridiculous to complain about it. As a fan, I want to see the offense try to score every time they're on the field. If they aren't trying to score, then they aren't doing their job. I totally agree that giving the ball to a fourth-string running back to let him score his first TD in the NFL has nothing to do with running up the score. It's building your team and rewarding a role player that practices hard.
Wait, have any Patriots fans complained about running up the score?
Not that
it's
I know.
It's national media types and people. No one in Patriots Nation is complaining that
they're
running up the
score. No, but that's what we're talking about.
I'm gonna say something.
But
that
he said as a fan, you shouldn't. And no fans are.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that needs to be said. The Patriots need to lose a football game. And I'll tell you why. We got nothing to talk about. I don't even know why we're none of us think that they – no one cares if they're running up the score here. And we're, like, arguing with each other over, like, the same things we believe because we've just flat out run out of things to talk about.
It's true.
Well, I got bad news for you.
Another 12, 14 so weeks of this?
Yes. We'll be much more interesting when we can turn the page towards draft preparation. At least we can argue then.
He says on Moss and extensions, give him a boatload of money, but do it in a way that won't kill you in the cap.
Brilliant. Just go about that. Paul, you want to take care of that? Get back to me.
Okay, here's $27 million, but I'm going to spread it out over the next 87 years.
On the possible
the Broncos can help you out there.
On the possible undefeated season, I love it, but what worries me is that Week 17 game against the Giants. Of course, it's a long way away, but the Giants haven't lost since Week 2. And even if they keep it up, they could easily still have a lot to play for since they're behind Dallas in their own division. It's a good point. And let's see. Finally, he says, by the way, the Marshall Islands used to be a nuclear test site. When I worked at Raytheon, they offered to send me there, but I declined. I think there's still a big military base there and not much else from what I was told at the time.
Really?
Sounds
so
like
maybe
a nice
that
place.
Guy's in the military and has three nuts.
Or one.
Or one. Could go either way there. Anytime it's an odd number, it's not good.
All right. It's webradio at patriots.com is the email address. I haven't given that out in a while.
It hasn't hurt us.
508-543-7482. Gary, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season. Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren? Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. Playoff action is back in Foxborough. Once again, your New England Revolution have advanced to the MLS playoffs and are looking for a return trip to MLS Cup.
Drives it for him, and the goal! 1-0 Revs! What a huge tally for New England!
Saturday, November 3rd at 7:30 p.m., Taylor Twellman, Pat Noonan, Matt Reese, and the rest of the Revs take to the field in Foxborough, and they want you there to cheer them on to victory.
Takes a touch and buries it. 1-0 Revs. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Individual tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and don't miss a minute of this exciting playoff match at Gillette Stadium. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS. That's 1-877-GET-REVS to get your playoff ticks.
Get your kicks
and get the Revolution.
The New England Revolution.
I'm
All right, several emailers have rushed to my defense to inform us that there is, in fact, a city called Chiba, and it's in Japan. It's about 45 minutes from Tokyo.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
On the Japan rail line, and Lambo in China wants to know why we're ignoring him. We don't ignore anybody.
Right.
What is that all about?
Fred, once again, you proved to be correct.
Have you been not reading his emails?
Well, maybe, but I don't read a lot of emails.
I ignore lots of people.
I know. I mean,
That's why you only have two left.
I honestly don't every day get to read every email.
We never get to every email.
Yesterday we had like 20. I leave them in the bin for John to read.
Right.
Did John read it, Jason, from Lambo or wherever you're from?
Lambo,
China? Uh-oh, Gary's writing something down. Dave in the Philippines. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I just wanted to clarify one thing. You read my email, but you didn't really get my point on Moss. The last thing I want to do is give him a big signing bonus and spread that out over future years.
I know, but if you're Randy Moss, how are you going to come here without one?
Well, I think if you gave him enough yearly salary, if he wants to play here, he might.
It's got to be guaranteed, though.
The question is, does he really want to play here? And will his skills continue for years? So I think if you offered him a good yearly salary in the order of what he was getting before, but you didn't hit the team with a big signing bonus, that gives you the flexibility to cut him if the situation changes.
But it's
in play as long as he wants to play and he's capable of playing, and then everybody could be happy.
I hear what you're saying, but Randy Moss, as we've determined, is extremely bright. He did this for 1 year to show everybody that he still has the skills. He's not going to give us any hometown discount next year. I mean, maybe a little bit, but he's going to want guaranteed big bucks money. I think whether it's in the form of roster bonuses or signing bonus or whatever, you got to guarantee it so that if you do cut him, it's going to hurt you in the cap.
I think you're probably right, Fred.
Well, I mean, if that's what he wants, then maybe you don't wind up signing him. But I think the Patriots could say, hey, you know, we offered him good money per year in a way that wasn't going to hurt the team, and that'll, you know, keep some feedback from coming back at them later on if they don't wind up signing him. At least they made a good attempt.
But I'm not saying, Dave, that you don't give him a guarantee. I think that I'm still considering that. I mean, I think this guy's unbelievable. I think that he's the difference between the Patriots just winning and winning huge this year. I mean,
I agree with that 100%, and I'd love to see him come back. My comment was just in response to all the discussions you guys have had about, you know, a lot of you guys have said you really don't want to sign him because you don't know if he'll work as hard once he gets the big money, and B, you don't know that his physical skills are going to last because he's getting to be an older player.
Those are comments
I've heard from you guys.
Yeah, no, Dave,
we've all
said that, and I've come full circle on it, and I now believe that you know, he's been so good, I think you really do, you should want to re-sign him. I don't want to give him a long-term deal just because of his age.
I'd give him 2 years.
Yeah, I'd give him a couple years, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, well, I say if it was my money, I would too.
Would you give him $20 million, Paul? 2 years, $20 million?
Sure.
Wow.
Not my money.
I would too, based on what I've seen in the locker room.
I think he has fit in so well. I don't think there's that much of a risk of him.
Yeah, you know, they've got a lot of veteran guys that are probably making decent money that are up for, you know, retirement or nearing the end of their careers. They might have some cap room next year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, Dave, what's the weather in the Philippines today?
It's pretty nice, warm, didn't rain.
Yeah.
We basically have two seasons here. There's the really hot season, and then there's the not-so-hot season where it rains in the afternoon. The best time is usually around the holidays, around Christmas. That's when it's the most pleasant and least humid.
Now, do you live near the water?
Not too near. I can drive about 2 hours to get to a good dive site.
Oh, okay.
I live in Metro Manila, you know, the downtown area.
Okay. We're just trying to get a little perspective here. That's
Manila
all.
Proper?
Yeah.
I actually live in a place called Quezon City.
But it's
inside of Metro Manila. There's like five or six cities that are all really one big city. If you looked at it from space, you wouldn't be able to tell there was, you know, more than one city there.
Okay. Cool. Well, Dave, thanks for calling in.
That's
Dave from the Philippines calling
on his
phone line there, which reaches all over the world. It's amazing what technology
can do. What the hell does that
mean? Technology nowadays, Andy, you can make a phone call.
S-K-Y-P-E.
That phone they invented, you know, 100 years ago.
Anybody can call anywhere in the world.
Let's see.
I have a question. How come we don't have any pins in Russia or Africa? We've never gotten emails from
Russia. I know we've got the Ukraine.
We've gotten stuff from Russia, I'm pretty sure.
Never mind.
The Ukraine is, she used to email in a lot. So I don't know where she went. What happened to her?
Who's she?
A woman that used to email in from
Hungary.
The Ukraine.
Sue in Budapest?
Hungary?
Susan in Budapest.
Oh, then there was somebody else from the Ukraine. I'm sure of that.
Well, we got nobody in Russia or South, Africa.
Speaking of someone that's
speaking of nobody
from a long, oh no, Craig's on the line. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
Great. What's up?
Well, as usual, I agree with pretty much everything you and Paul say, despite the fact that you argue like you're married. I agree with what Paul said about the Giants. I'm not at all intimidated by the Giants.
There's a surprise.
Personally, as long as we win the Super Bowl, that's all I care about. You know, if we go undefeated, you know, that's great, too. I don't know if you guys have seen them in person or if you've just seen the footage that I have, but it looks to me like Seymour's lost about 10 or 15 pounds.
He has definitely redistributed his weight. We noticed that in the press conference following the passing of Marquise Hill. When he came out,
ripped.
We immediately noticed a difference in his body type, and I actually think it harkened back to his first days here when he came in as a rookie. I thought he was very much a unique 300-pounder, tall, svelte, and I think he's gotten back to that a little.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing in your mind?
A good thing.
I think it's a great thing.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to be that much quicker.
I mean, he could come in as a speed rusher now, give something the Patriots have never really had, you know?
Shot at Roosevelt Coleman.
Not from a line down lineman position.
As long as he rushes the passer, that's all I care about. Put some pressure on there. Help the defensive backs out a little bit. I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question. We haven't really had both our running backs healthy at the same time. How much do you think Bill is going to change the game plan back to a balanced offense, and do you think Brady will see that as a lost opportunity to break some records?
I don't think Brady will care very much at all. I think all he wants to do is win football games. I think they'd love to be a balanced offense because that's, you know, but
he didn't have any less opportunities to throw the ball in the first couple of games when both running backs were healthy, and they did have a balanced offense. I wouldn't see why if
and they're not healthy now, so it's a question for a month down the road.
Right, maybe. But even if they were back healthy, Morris and Maroney, I don't think are going to affect. Do you?
No.
I think Brady's still going to get it. The only thing that I would be concerned about in terms of long-term records and stuff like that is the weather.
Right.
You know, maybe in November and as we get into December, just the pure –
sure.
Facts of being in the Northeast, and most of their road games are also in the Northeast.
That's right.
Baltimore, the Meadowlands for the Giants. You know,
right?
I think
after the bye week,
Buffalo.
After Indianapolis is the last good weather place that they're going to play.
Right.
It's Buffalo, Baltimore, games at home, and then you go to the Giants.
Right.
So you're looking at
a lot of them are at night where it's even colder.
Yeah.
Right. And you could conceivably have some wind involved if it's not inclement weather. You could have at least be cold and windy, and that could affect Brady maybe only throwing three touchdowns instead of five.
Well, congratulations, Craig. You made it through a phone call without Gary blowing you up.
Gary's tired.
So
fans are all around the world just booed.
No. You got to give Craig his time.
We love Craig. He's one of the originals.
That's right. Let's see. Phil writes in, I hear some people are saying Brady is just a system quarterback, that any quarterback put in the Pat system with all those weapons and all the time to throw would put up the same numbers. How do you guys respond to
Phil,
that?
Who said that?
Is this 2001?
Yeah, I don't
know. Who is some people?
No one's saying that anymore, I don't think.
I mean, I would agree that there are other quarterbacks who would be very successful with the current group of offense the Patriots have had, but I disagree that anybody could have done what Brady's done the last three, four, 5 years.
We've seen Brady win and succeed in so many different ways. It's proof that he's not a system guy because it hasn't been the same cast of characters around him. It's changed a lot.
Matter of fact, I think that was one of the things that Brady got the nod. People, the whole Manning-Brady debate, that's one of the things that people gave Brady the nod for was the fact that he did it with less than what Manning did it with. I don't think that...
Less and different.
That system thing is an old thing. That's a 2001, 2002 kind of a thing.
That's Andre Ware.
Yeah.
When he's not rushing the passer off the edge.
I think Brady is well-regarded as one of the two best quarterbacks in football, and most people think that he is the best.
And now people saying we're watching two of the top five
of our
in the
generation
of the game.
Yeah.
Mike is from
we don't have an our generation, Paul.
Sorry.
Mike is from Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's only because you don't remember anything before 1985.
Paul, I mean, can you let him read the email?
Mike is from Raleigh, North Carolina. He says, here's a few items to run your gums about. One, what are your thoughts on the war of words between Adalys Thomas and Ray Lewis?
Love it.
Paul?
I like it, too. I mean,
doesn't mean anything.
We don't usually get that kind of stuff here, so I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Tom? Tom's you sleeping?
No, I
you
just
right?
got
yeah.
the flu.
You still under the weather?
I'm feeling a little bit better today.
Getting better now?
Everybody yeah. knows I hate Ray Lewis, so.
I don't see it as a big deal. It'll just go away soon and probably be rehashed when they play.
Yeah.
If these two ever got into it, who'd win the bitch-slapping contest, or would Ray just shoot him from his limo?
Yeah, if there were no weapons involved, I have to yeah. give AD the edge on that one. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
What do we got?
Well, so. I think Matt Light wanted to do an interview, but Michael Felger wasn't here to talk to him.
Oh. I thought maybe they wanted to opine on who'd win that fight.
We're out.
All right.
We got interviews coming up.
Light's kicking us out.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll take a break, and on the other side, you'll hear some live interviews here at PFW in Progress.